remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sish on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete dishul is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel, streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The fight by homosexuals for the right to marry has taken two major hits. One in New York, where the state's highest court rules gay marriage is not possible under state law.
Our commitment is no different than anyone else who's married, and all we're looking for is the ability to receive the protections under the law that we feel that we deserve.
Regina Cacchetti wanted to marry Susan Zimmer. Matt Daniels at the Alliance for Marriage says it's a good thing they can't.
Most Americans believe that gays and lesbians are free to live as they choose, but they don't have a right to redefine marriage for our entire society through the courts.
And in Georgia, the state Supreme Court has ruled the legality of the ban on gay marriage there will be held up. 45 states have outlawed gay marriage, though a handful do allow civil unions. Huge court case in Florida. The state Supreme Court rules there the class action damage award against big tobacco should never have happened. University of California professor Stanton Glantz.
This is a big win for big tobacco, and it's a real defeat for the public interest and the public health.
Tobacco industry celebrates the overturning of the $145 billion damage award and the increase in stock values in today's trading that quickly followed. A not guilty plea today in Louisville, Kentucky for the soldier facing charges of rape and murder in Mahmoudia, Iraq. He's already been discharged from the Army. The trial is expected in civilian court near Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The official count of the presidential election in Mexico leaves the ruling party in power.
It's because of Mexico's history, this is so significant. They've just never had a race come down to the wire. People have never had to stay up all night for election nights and watch the results coming in. All of this is brand new here, and a lot of people just don't know what to make of it. So some people think, well, there must be a fraud, just like the old days.
CBS's Adrian Bard says the leftist rival plans to challenge the results in court. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it is the space shuttle. Married for a few days to the space station.
Contact confirmed.
There wasn't a lot of conversation as the space station crew eyeballed Discovery during its approach.
It's boring to us that it's quiet, but that's a good thing. That means everything's going well.
Lead flight director Tony Sakachi says engineers are looking over the pictures the station crew shot, then downlinked, along with data from yesterday's in-flight heat shield inspection.
Right now, there's no concerns.
Peter King, CBS News at the space.
Two-year-old women who can wear diamond earrings and look great doing it. When diamonds are all she's wearing, Sophia Loren will be on next year's Pirelli Tires calendar. That calendar has a near cult-like following with its annual array of international stars in their birthday suits. Among the others in the works this year, Penelope Cruz, Naomi Watts, and Hilary Swank. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 74 points. Nasdaq picked up almost 2 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Real pirates aren't A-list actors.
They're trained killers.
Real pirates don't sip lattes.
They are hyper-violent. I mean, terrifying.
Real pirates don't stab you in the back. They stab you in the front. True Caribbean Pirates. Before Hollywood came calling. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Street gangs are going high-tech, too.
Notorious street gangs, including the Crips and the Bloods, MS-13 and 18th Street, have staked out corners of cyberspace. A lot of photos, members holding guns, taunts, colors, and graffiti tags. But the audience isn't only gangbangers and wannabes, but law enforcement, mining these sites for the intel they offer. Chicago police recently arrested a graffiti artist after he posted his work and name and address on MySpace. Will Maliano, CBS News.
A clue into the mind of Palestinian militants through fashion. In the Gaza Strip, it's a common sight. Militants waving a Hamas flag, wearing a green Hamas headband, thrusting an AK-47 into the air, and wearing U.S. Army fatigue shirt, complete with accurate patches. One of them, Bassem Shora, explained, the U.S. Army is powerful and American military clothing is hot fashion because it shows strength and determination. The Palestinian fashion statement of strength is American.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We have quite a show lined up for you today, and I guess I better give you the guests. Today, we're going to be joined in the 6:30 hour by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yes, RFK Jr., he's co-host of Air America's Ring of Fire. He is going to be with us in the 6:30 hour. And the reason I've asked him to come on the show is he did a piece for Rolling Stone that was a powerful blockbuster piece entitled, Was the 2004 Election Stolen? And nobody, hardly anybody, has responded. You don't see any mention of it in the mainstream press. The question is anybody listening? And he will be joining us at 6:30. In the 4 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by two authors. They work together. They are best-selling authors, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. Their new book is The Book of the Dead, and they are wonderful. Douglas Preston is a regular contributor to The New Yorker. Lincoln Child is a former book editor who's published lots of anthologies of ghost stories and supernatural tales, etc. So these two guests will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour, and the new book is called Book of the Dead, but I read one of their books called Thunderhead. I think it was sort of in the middle of the number of books that they've written. A friend sent it to me, a relative actually sent it to me, you know, one of those grungy old paperbacks you buy somewhere used in a garage sale or maybe in a Friends of the Library book sale or something. Oh, it was so good. I could not put it down. So I'm surprised I haven't heard about them. I'm usually not a thriller reader, but lately I've become one, and they are very, very good. So you know their research is so good that you know that when you're reading about this, the places that they write about and the kinds of areas that they write about, that the information is credible. So that's what's coming up. And we are going to be joined tomorrow by Elaine Petrocelli. She and her husband, Bill, own one of the finest independent bookstores in the country. It's called Book Passage in Corte Madera. And like many independent bookstores, it's got its challenges. You see now the triumph of the big box retailers, so there are many fewer independent bookstores, and I thought it would be wonderful to have her on for suggestions of summer reading. And guess what? We are going to be joined Monday, July 10th, in the 3 o'clock hour, by comedian Bill Maher. So Bill Maher on Monday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. today, best-selling authors Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child in the 4 o'clock hour, and tomorrow Elaine Petrocelli, who will tell us what kind of great summer reading we ought to be thinking about. And we have lots more guests next week as well, all of that for you. So there are lots of ways you can contact me, enid@kctc.com. If you go to our website, 1320leftchannel.com, many of you asked for George W. Bush's Dickies resume. It's on there. We put it on the website this morning. And so it is there. If you just go to the website and you click onto Enid Live, onto my page, and scroll down, you will find it. So for those of you who are asking for George W. Bush resume, and it is very good, you will want to look at that and make copies and send them to all your friends, Republican, Democrat, uncommitted, and otherwise. And also, if you go to the website, we are giving away Bill Maher tickets, and there is a giveaway contest for a wonderful road bike as well. So all of that at 1320leftchannel.com, as well as a list of our upcoming guests. And you can call me. There is never a charge. It is toll-free. We are... We are toll-free. 916, if you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you are not in the area code, the number is 866-626-1320. And here's what I want to get underway with. A couple things. I neglected to share with you this juicy piece of information, which is over the weekend, even though I did incarcerate myself into the world of trying to get myself organized, as I have often said, a lot of people are coming out of the closet, but moi, your goddess, is going in, trying to get organized, not the closet really, but just my place, and the papers, the filing, the, you know, a million little scraps of paper, which after 2 hours, all you have cleared is a tiny little area, 3 inches by 3 inches, but it's been packed with a lot of little pieces of paper that have to be dealt with. Well, I managed to slip out because I couldn't stand it. For once, I was running away from home, and I went to see The Devil Wears Prada. Wow. It is fabulous. I thought, it's going to be a chick flick. I want to see Meryl Streep because she's good in everything. I had just seen her in Prairie Home Companion, where she plays a completely different character. Meryl Streep is a treasure. This woman is immensely talented. So I thought, you know, I'll go there, I'll see some fashions, and it was great. Go see The Devil Wears Prada. It is arch. It is very well written. It is stylish. It is beautifully acted. And you don't lose interest for a second. And I have no attention span to speak of. I like to say I have the attention span of a bumblebee. And I loved it. It was just great. It was a great romp, and the acting's terrific. And the scenery is good. And the story is deliciously wicked. And the writing is arch and snide and sly and just completely wonderful. Deliciously malevolent. Oh, in every way. You just got to go see it. All right. Well, we had talked about Kenneth Lay yesterday, didn't we? Ken Lay. A couple things. First of all, the New York Post, which is famously irreverent, has a headline that says, "Lay him low, Enron's chief crook ducks big house by dropping dead." Well, we had our thoughts yesterday. Was it assisted suicide? Was it unassisted suicide? Some of you called in to say, it might not have been him who died, It they better figure out if that's really Ken Lay and what do you know? That's exactly what the New York Post said. So many of you were ahead of the New York Post, a tabloid, but it's always fun to read the New York, especially page 6, and the people on page 6 are in the soup at the moment, but that's the gossip page. Anyhow, the front page, they're speculating that somebody better check that coffin, that casket, pretty carefully to be sure it actually is Ken Lay, because he could have pulled a fast one. He could have just ducked out. He did pull a fast one, didn't he? He ducked out, and now they're saying some of the claims against him are in some different legal terrain, and there may be some jeopardy, and it's all confusing, and he headed right out. I'm telling you, dropping dead of a heart attack was too good for Ken Lay, really. Too good for him. He didn't have to deal with the fallout. He didn't have to deal with becoming somebody's bitch in the can. He did not have to deal with living by somebody else's rules when you are in the can. He didn't have to deal with he didn't have to deal with morphine drips and being on a walker and all the things that come with advanced age. He just checked right out. He was in the checkout line. It's Roach Motel. They check in, but they don't check out. And so here is the confusion that is prompted by his death on Wikipedia. And you know what Wikipedia is, which is an online encyclopedia. He died, they said, of an apparent heart attack. Who knows? You know, maybe they inject stuff in you that makes it look like a heart attack. I bet the CIA knows about that. I bet that's tradecraft. What do you think? All right, so here at 10:06 a.m., Wikipedia's entry for Lay said he died, quote, of an apparent suicide. At 10:08, it said he died at his Aspen, Colorado home quote, of an apparent heart attack or suicide. Within the same minute, it said the cause of death was, quote, yet to be determined. At 10.09 a.m., it said, quote, no further details have been officially released, end quote, about the death. 2 minutes later, it said, the guilt, quote, the guilt of ruining so many lives finally led him to his suicide, end quote. At 10:12 a.m., this was replaced by, according to Lay's pastor, the cause was a massive coronary heart attack. By 10:39 a.m., Lay's entry said, speculation as to the cause of the heart attack led many people to believe it was due to the amount of stress put on him by the Enron trial. That statement was later dropped. So they're saying that he died of a massive heart attack, which is nothing compared to the heart attack he gave countless people who thought they had a secure retirement. These are the people you see of a certain age working in the malls because they have to now, doing a minimum wage kind of a job. And nobody in California seems to want to raise the minimum wage all that much. And there's not all that much enthusiasm for raising the minimum wage. I like to see some of these people who think it's bad for business try and live on the minimum wage. I would just like to see that happen. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be just too much fun? 349-1320 or toll-free 866-626-1320. Okay, who's been missing in action lately? Let me think. Oh, Phil Angelides, yes. And Arnold, too. We haven't heard too much about him this week. Well, it's a holiday weekend. Does he come to town when it's a holiday weekend? Why didn't he buy a house here if he was so convinced that he would be a good governor? Why didn't he move here? What is he, like a fly-in, drive-by governor? Well, his comeback is continuing. His comeback has come back. A new poll finds him leading Phil Angelides. But the poll also contains a cautionary flag for Arnold and a roadmap for Phil. President Bush, according to the was conducted, would be a heavy burden for Schwarzenegger if Angelides could link the two Republicans together in voters' minds. Now, remember, we had a homework assignment here, and that was to figure out some kind of an antidote to cut and run. That was how Karl Rove labeled Democrats, cut and run Democrats, because we want to get out of Iraq, which is a loser, which is bad news no matter how you slice it, which is the last run on the bad karma train. We want out of Iraq. Well, here's what Phil has got to do. He has got to yoke together, and it is no yoke to consider this. He's got to yoke together Arnold and Bush. He's got to find a way to put those two together and harness the anger. And didn't we say that from the start? Didn't we say that immediately? Well, so the poll says that if Angelides could link Arnold and Bush together, he would benefit. But, according to George Skelton in the Los Angeles Times, that doesn't seem to be happening. This was the first public survey of the Schwarzenegger-Angelides race since the primary. Schwarzenegger in this poll... was found to be leading Angelides. He's leading him by 7 points, 44% to 37%. In March, the lead was only 3 points, 40% to 37. So Angelides has stayed stable at 37%, interestingly enough. But Arnold is getting more favorable. He started at 40%, and that was in March, so just a few months ago, and now he's up to 44%. He's gained 4 points. In late May, the two were virtually tied. So in March, Arnold leads by 3%. In late May, they're tied, and now in July, Arnold is leading by 7%. In this survey, each candidate held big leads in the party's traditional strongholds. Schwarzenegger in the Central Valley and Southern California outside of Los Angeles, Angelides in Los Angeles and in the Bay Area. So Angelides' turf is Los Angeles, it's in the Bay Area. But more significantly, George Skelton of the LA Times is saying, with 4 months still to run in the campaign, Schwarzenegger recorded positive job approval numbers for the first time since March 2005. So let's say about a year and a half. In this survey, 48% of the voters approved of Arnold's job performance, as opposed to 41% who disapproved. About a year and a half ago, it was 45 to 45. So 45 approved, 45 didn't. In January of this year, only 39% approved, 51% did not. So he has made a concerted effort to come up in the polls to portray himself as Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Chestnut Makeup and Matching Chestnut Hair. You know, Mr. Let's have a press conference. Never mind that he has no solution. He has no legislation plan. No, not. Let's just have a press conference. It's like the movies. Let's just memorize the script and pretend that we are the governor. It is a role of a lifetime, and he is playing it to the hilt. And in this time period, Phil Angelides has largely been absent from the public arena. I have not read about him. He may be around, but I haven't seen much mention of it in any of the many newspapers that I look at every day. Schwarzenegger, they're saying, has firmed up his GOP base of support since January while rehabbing himself with moderates and independents, groups that provide the decisive votes in close elections. So they will be the swing votes. He's getting good political advice, and he's listening to it. He's toned down his rhetoric, and he's working more cooperatively with legislators, and it's paying off. It's paying off politically because it's producing some decent public policy, an ambitious $37 billion bond package for public works, a feud-ending repayment of billions owed schools, and a bipartisan on-time state budget. Luck also helps. The state is collecting $7.5 billion more in taxes than it previously projected. So here is my question. How is Phil Angelides going to put Arnold and Bush together in a good slogan? How is he going to be able to harness the anger that we feel at this administration for its incompetence, its actual complicity into the realm of negligence, its corruption? It's really, you know, you talk about the evildoers. I think that evils, Murray Kempton said it very well. He said the devil never walks in pretending to be the devil, playing that it's the devil. The devil walks in offering you a larger audience. The devil walks in with a smile on his face and seems like a nice, bumbling person. The devil doesn't come in, you know, with a pitchfork and in a red outfit on. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. And my question is, what can Phil Angelides do to put Arnold and Bush on the same page? Is it a slogan? What is it that he can do that will begin to harness the anger we feel toward the administration and direct it toward Arnold? I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana, who is filling in for Doug Alperin.
Well, thank you very much, Enid. You know what? Traffic and weather from the left. Lows tonight right around 57, though we need to see about 82 this afternoon. Tomorrow high is 98. And for your traffic, it's actually kind of slow right now. Westbound 50, northbound Watt Avenue. Vehicles smack dab in the middle of the roadway, and as usual over there in South Sac. We'll be back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight. Yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot. lot of money.
Three,
no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
3:25 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, and I want to remind you, in 6:30, we're going to be joined by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he has written this incredible piece in Rolling Stone called Was the 2004 Election Stolen? Now, if you listen to Enid Live, you know that we have real concerns about the integrity of the voting in this country, and we have often talked to Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org, and we have talked about those electronic voting machines, Diebold and Sequoia and the rest of them, that are very problematic, could easily be hacked into, never leave any fingerprints, and there were really some egregious examples in Ohio. This was a very well-documented piece that RFK Jr. wrote, and guess what? Have you read anything about it in the mainstream media? I don't think so. Not much. Hasn't got much attention. Here's somebody really prominent, not a whack job, lots of citations in the piece, and somehow it dies. What does it tell us? Does it tell us that people are happy to drink the Kool-Aid and they don't really want to know what's going on? If you tell them what's going on, they would really rather change the subject. What we have in the news today is how gay marriage has been struck down in a couple of states, New York, Georgia, banning gay marriage. You know, don't we have really serious things to be talking about now? Don't we have really serious things to be discussing? We're talking about Arnold, for one thing, and we are talking about Phil and the run for the governor. Governorship, and here we have Arnold's numbers coming up in the most recent poll. But the poll indicates that if Phil Angelides is able to tie Arnold in with the Republicans, to tie Arnold in with this administration, that somehow it could work to Phil's benefit. Now, remember, the Republicans were good at the cut-and-run strategy. My question is what can Phil do to devise a strategy? What is the strategy that he could use, whether it's a phrase, whether it's a slogan, whether it's a couple of sentences? What is it, a thought? What is it that he can use that's succinct, powerful, packs a punch, and ties Arnold with this administration, with the Bush administration, and Iraq, all of it, all that anger that we feel? Because a lot of people will call Enid Live, and they will say, well, you know, I'm cool with Arnold. He's all right. He's a celebrity. He's okay. Really? Really? You really want this guy who hasn't been thinking much about policy, who doesn't even think enough about being the governor to make enough of a commitment to actually live here for a period of time, to buy a home here, or at least be here and not just keep flying in? What kind of a commitment is that? Not much of a commitment, I don't think. 349-1320. So what is Phil going to have to do to put Arnold and Dickey on the same page? And also, if you go to our website, which is 1320leftchannel.com, and you click on Enid Live, you will get Dickey's resume, the one that we read yesterday, and everybody, we had lots of calls for copies of it. So if you just go to the website, you can find it. It's been reported both in the San Francisco Chronicle and in the Sacramento Bee today. This scathing report on health care in our state prisons. A receiver is threatening to send federal marshals to Sacramento. The federal official appointed to revamp medical care inside California prisons blamed, listen what he blamed, an inept state bureaucracy, the governor, and lawmakers for the prison crisis, and suggested he would send federal marshals to Sacramento to seize money if legislators and Arnold don't provide sufficient funding to improve care for the state's 171,000 inmates. So the report is so scathing that the receiver here threatens to send marshals in. I don't know, maybe they'll haul Arnold off to the pokey. Federal marshals in to Sacramento to seize money. I don't know how they do that. What do? Go to the bank and draw their weapons and say, we're federal marshals, give us this money? How does this work? Those of you who work in the bureaucracy, please let me know this. But they are blaming the governor on this. An inept state bureaucracy, the governor, and lawmakers for a prison crisis. The governor is being blamed. Here, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. So why doesn't Phil make something out of that? Blaming the governor is being blamed for the pathetic state of health care in our state prisons. And jail nurses. The SACB is reporting that jail nurses are speaking out on the safety risks. Nurses who work in Sacramento's main jail will be speaking out about crisis conditions in the facility's medical unit. They're talking about low staffing, the risks to their safety. A recent audit of the jail and Sacramento grand jury reports say more than 30% of nursing positions in the jail are open. The number is similar for public health nurses. So nurses are leaving at a rapid rate, and they don't want to stick around. So we've got a crisis in the medical system, the medical care system in our prisons. And we got a problem here with enough staffing of enough nurses in the jail. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Well, weather looking pretty good. Nice outside, a little breeze. It's perfect. Lows tonight right around 57. Tomorrow highs 98. I'm loving it. Now, the traffic, I'm loving that too. Calvine Road and Power Inn Road. We have two vehicles that have got into it. Emergency vehicles are blocking the lane there. In South Sac, 5th Street and en route to westbound 50, we do have a vehicle on the right-hand side with the doors open. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily. Safeway.
Federal agents, we are armed! Oh!
Messages.
Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I.
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
3:36 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by the authors of the bestseller Book of the Dead, and it is a thriller, and these two are fabulous writers. Preston and Child are their last names, and you've probably bought a lot of their books. And at 6:30, we're going to be joined by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He wrote a piece, a powerful piece, I thought a blockbuster, in Rolling Stone called Was the 2004 Election Stolen? And it made somebody with his pedigree, it made almost no noise at all in the mainstream press. Not any. And we've been looking at the integrity of the voting situation for some time now, so I'm very pleased that he's going to be with us Monday. Bill Maher will be with us in the 3 o'clock hour. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about a new poll out that has Arnold Schwarzenegger at 7% lead to Phil Angelides. Now, we haven't heard or seen Phil lately. He's been a little bit missing in action. So Arnold's gained some traction. But what the poll suggests is that if Phil can harness the anger that everybody feels toward the administration, something we've said, if he can harness Bush and Arnold together, then he has something that he can really go to town with. Now, how can we help him do it? What kind of a good phrase can we devise? 349-1320, 866-620-61320. Liberal Stanley in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yes, I have an excellent way to tie Bush and Mr. Schwarzenegger together. I don't call him Mr. Schwarzenegger. I call him the boobin grabber, as you do.
The boobin grabber. Well, if you got any boobs, you better just keep them away from him.
But I point out that neither one of them have any concrete plans for anything to get us out of this mess. I mean, out of Iraq, and just like this border situation. Just like this border situation, he has no plans really about doing anything. That is Schwarzenegger. And the thing that I would point out the most, even the most to me, was I'd point out the fact that Schwarzenegger tries, he wants to return us to the days of the robber barons. This is the same guy that tried a blatant attempt of union busting. He tried to bust up the teachers' union and the nurses' union. That's all it is. He wants to return us to either no middle class, just either you're rich or you one of those poor swabs that
are working a minimum wage that nobody wants to raise. Liberal Stanley, I thank you very much for the call. You know what? He's right. The middle class has been shrinking. People don't want to realize that their buying power is shrinking. This is an administration that's made a concerted but though quiet effort to limit what the middle class is able to do. The rich are getting so rich that, listen to this, there is an ad I forget now what publication, for Let me see if I can find it here. For a nanny. You know how much you get to be a nanny? You want to make a guess? How much did you used to get when you were babysitting? You didn't get a whole lot, did you? Did you get $5 an hour? Maybe you got a couple bucks an hour. If you're old enough, maybe you got 50 cents an hour. How much did you get when you were babysitting? Not a lot. Well, here are evidence that quality child care is becoming increasingly valued in our society. Last week, USA Today ran an article in the money section entitled, CEOs Shell Out Six Figures to Secure the Perfect Nanny. The cover story profiled several experienced college-educated nannies who earn close to $100,000 a year, plus benefits including paid vacations, room and board, gym memberships, employer-furnished vehicles, cell phones, and health insurance. I think everybody, it looks like to me like everybody in the control room is going to sign up. We're all going to sign up to become nannies. You can make six figures being a nanny. They pick up your room and board, so think of what your room and board costs you. Your gym membership, how much does it cost you to join the gym? You got a vehicle, they will furnish a vehicle for you. You don't even have to go out and buy something. Cell phones and health insurance. You have to be college educated. You get benefits. You get paid vacations. And so what you do is you can conceivably, you can pocket the money that's being paid you because your room and board is provided. Your gym membership is provided. Your vehicle is provided. Your cell phone is provided. So presumably your expenses are not that huge. So if you want to apply for one of these, the place to go is the International Nanny Association. For average nanny salaries in your area, you could do the Nanny Association's 2006 salary survey, which breaks out the results by region. So here it is. I mean, these high livers, these rich people are paying $100,000 for nannies with really quite lovely benefits. And we know that the number of millionaires has gone up quite substantially. We can see that these huge estates that are around are further indication that the rich are getting quite a lot richer. But the middle class is stagnant, I think. Well, we don't care about that. Here's what we care about. This is what we really care about. Well, we care about in Georgia. We care that the Supreme Court has reinstated the gay marriage ban. A New York court has ruled against gay marriage. Let me ask you this question. Is the biggest threat to marriage the fact that people who are gay might be entering into that triumph of optimism over experience? Do you think that's the biggest threat to marriage? That people are gay might be getting married? Well, does nobody want to address the fact that 50% of people who get married get divorced? That the chief cause of divorce is marriage? Nobody wants to talk about that? No, we want to talk about banning gay marriage. We don't want to talk about the fact that the middle class is getting squeezed. We don't even want to think about the fact that health care in state prisons is such a shambles that the person in charge of overseeing this report has threatened to send federal marshals to Sacramento to get the money, for money, to solve the crisis. Now, I don't know what happens when the federal marshals come in. I don't know where they go to get the money. What do? They flash a badge and they flash a gun? And they say, your money or your life? Is that a gun? And then the person they say that to says, is that a gun in your pocket? You're just happy to see me? I mean, I don't know how this works. Those of you who are in the system, we would like to hear from you on this. But the governor is definitely blamed here as part of what has gone wrong. And if Phil Angelides is awake, he better get on the stick and do something about it. And here, I have to share with you one reason why we love California. Nobody talks about this. But eavesdropping is one of the most wonderful activities there are. And it used to be harder to eavesdrop. But as the NSA will tell you and the government will tell you, it's a lot easier now. And as any ordinary citizen can tell you, it has gotten so easy because people are standing around yapping away on their cell phones and you can hear the most personal details of their lives going out so that the NSA can also hear it. But here's a great public eavesdropping story. This is a man who's only in the Bay Area. A man in a wedding dress is yelling at his dog. And this was overheard at a farmer's market in the Bay Area. And the man in the wedding dress is saying to his dog, get off my train, you little bastard. So, for whatever that's worth. And here is how you know that you are in Geezerland. You know, the writers on those contracts for rock and roll stars, they used to have, who knows what kind of drugs and everything. Not anymore. For Ozzy Osbourne's Ozfest. you could count on the writer having a lot of, say, Johnny Walker that would be provided backstage. No, somebody who found the group's writer on a legal website said, these days, these guys are requesting, Ozzy Osbourne has specified that he wants the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic's Rock Med group on board. These guys are requesting B12 shots and lots of oxygen tanks. I know, it's a sad story, isn't it? This is how you know you've crossed the Rubicon. That and when they start mamming you to death. When you go somewhere and they sir you or they mam you. Ma'am, can I carry your groceries? Ma'am, can I? Oh, you thought, uh-oh, that's it. You're gone. Forget it. Don't even think about implants. Forget about cosmetic surgery. It's over for you. 349. Yes. Yes. All right, marriage. So here it is. Here's what we're concentrating on. We're concentrating on gay marriage because I guess that's what we're supposed to be concentrating on. We're not concentrating on the fact that the middle class is being squeezed. Where is Phil Angelides? How come he's been missing in action? We're not, you know, jail nurses are speaking. I mean, it's one crisis after another. But you know what? It's summer. And who wants to think about this stuff anyway? And we don't want to think about it. And I want to talk to you about, I have to reprise, because I was thinking about this yesterday. We had a wonderful guest on, Dan Gilbert, who has written a book called Stumbling on Happiness. Because we have these guests in the 4 o'clock hour, a lot of you who work and don't get into your cars until about 5 o'clock miss some of what's said. But I really have been thinking about what he said last night. He talked about happiness. And a lot of us maybe don't always use happiness as the measure we should. Some people do, some people don't. But he talked about what really makes people happy. And we've all seen the studies that say money doesn't make you happy. But he says it does make you happy in one situation. He said money will make you happy if you are really poor and you can get to be in the middle class. Then he says money will make you happy. But if you're making $50,000 a year, and you win the lotto and you suddenly get $50 million, it doesn't make you much happier. And the thing that makes you unhappy, he said, is children. This is the dirty little secret. Children are work. It is really boring. I think people who have children are feeling isolated, probably put upon. These little devils can make you nuts, and God bless them. They're just, you know, we were all children once. Children are great, but they are a lot of hard work, and they often drive couples apart. And especially men feel like they don't get as much attention when a child comes into the family. So these are just, he's talking about happiness and using that as the measure, and that the thing that really makes us all happy is to have human contact with each other, to connect with each other. And yet, here's the rub. A new study that came out just, I think, last week or the week before tells us that 20 years ago, we, on average, confided in 3 people. Now we are confiding in 2 people, and 25% of us have nobody to confide in. And we're more likely to confide in family members than in friends. And yet the thing that gives us the most pleasure is connecting with each other, is having friends. And that's the thing we are doing less and less of. I asked why, he's a Harvard prof, he said because, his research indicates, we are in such a materialistic culture, we're so busy on that treadmill of acquisition, the thing we think will make us happy. But you know what, more things don't necessarily make you happy. And if you've moved as often as some of us have, I have to tell you, you start looking at stuff in a very different way. It's like, do I really want this? Cost to benefit. Do I want to move this thing? Is this more clutter in my life? This starts to own you instead of you owning it. 349-1320, 866-620, 61320. D in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, D.
Hi.
Hi,
Enid. Well, I actually was calling to give you a line.
Yes, please.
Cut and run.
Yes.
What about leave and let live?
You know, that's pretty good. Leave and let live. Oh, I like that. That's very good. All right.
It just sort of came to me, so I thought I'd pass it along.
Leave and let live. I think that's very good. D, excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the radio.
Oh, you're welcome. 349-1320, Nancy in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Nancy.
I just want to make a comment about the Angelides and Arnold, you know, race. I've been actually seeing some commercials now on the cable channels from Angelides about, you know, against Arnold, finally, taking him long enough. But the one thing I want to say is, you know, why don't we go on the attack mode like the Republicans have been doing to us for the last 8 years at the president level and talk about Arnold and the energy crisis and how much money people have had to pay out for electricity and gas now and, you know, the deficit with the state and all those kind of things that, you know.
I think you're onto something, and particularly all that big oil money that that Arnold is accepting. Because Greg Palast has suggested, and he has investigated a lot of these energy issues, he says they're waiting in the bushes, that they've become more, even more sophisticated than Enron was. And the minute the election is over, and when the moment is right, they're going to hit us again, and they're going to manipulate prices again, and we're going to get screwed again.
Yes.
And nobody wants, and nobody, there is no push to re-regulate because these entities, these players are so powerful. I think a grassroots push to re-regulate has to begin because there are energy contracts that we are obligated to pay. But still, beyond that, there needs to be this push.
So, right, and we were actually going down that road after the last energy debacle, and then the legislature just dropped the ball. What happened with all that?
Well, probably a lot of money in their pockets, I would guess, Nancy. But you know what? You are on the right track, and I thank you for calling. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana. What is going on out there, sister?
Well, I'll tell you what, there is no rain or snow since we're in Sacramento, so that helps out a little bit. Nice tonight, 57 and a nice breeze. Tomorrow high's right around 98. The traffic, eastbound 12 at 160, we do have a couple of accidents there. There's two vehicles at Motherlode and Fawn Street. We also have a hit and run blocking traffic and on through Sacramento. Eastbound 50 over top of the mountain. We do have a traffic hazard there as well and a slowdown of the traffic. We'll be back with more Enid Live. It's AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The morning.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself, or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 354 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And this just in, well, let's go to the phones. We're talking about Phil Angelides, and we're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we're talking about Phil better step on the gas, and Arnold, and what the polling indicates is that Arnold's 7 points ahead of Phil. His positives are getting better. And if Phil can harness the anger we feel toward Bush and join Arnold with that anger and join Arnold with Bush, then he can make some headway. And Arnold has just announced that he is not going to raise any taxes in his second term. So we're going to talk about that. Sheila in Grass Valley, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi. Anyway, I'm calling about Angelides.
Yes.
And I think he's got a real problem trying to get the Democratic vote. I'm a Democrat and seriously thinking of voting for Schwarzenegger because of his financial contributions that he's gotten from Sikopoulos. And I think that... You know, I would love to link Schwarzenegger with Bush and get him out. Unfortunately, the alternative is Angelides. And
well, wait a minute. All right, let's think of the lesser of two evils here. You're angry at the amount of money from Sikopoulos, but what about all the big oil money, the big energy money that goes to Schwarzenegger? And what about the fact that of the two of them, Schwarzenegger has just only for 5 minutes been a governor to be thinking about public policy? Angelides has been thinking about public policy and has plans for things for the last several decades.
And I don't disagree with that. I just think that if the Democrats are, and man, I am.
Here's the, you know what I,
but it's like, you know, I think we've got to also think about some of the images that the Democrats are putting forward, and I may or may not end up.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think what's happened, Sheila, the doctor is in, and I think what's happening is you are so mad.
Oh, I'm furious.
That you're thinking about, you know, lobbing one over, a vote over in Arnold's direction as a slap in the face to Phil. But if you do it, you're going to hate yourself in the morning.
Yeah, so, you know,
you may not be able to bring yourself to do it. And I would say of the two, you're better off with Phil than you are with Arnold, because Arnold is Bush light.
Yeah.
Never forget that.
But Angelides better start stepping up to the plate and saying more what he's going to do before he's going to sway a lot of people.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You are.
Anyway, I'm losing you.
Okay. I thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Well, she's right. Angelides better step up to the plate. And here's Arnold just pulling the rug out from under him by saying he will not increase taxes as governor if he's reelected.
listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
A huge damage award in a smoking case is thrown out.
This is a big win for big tobacco.
What to do about North Korea?
I think we've got a plan for the worst and hope for the best.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was a big blow 6 years ago when a jury in Florida ordered cigarette makers to pay a total of $145 billion in punitive damages for misleading the public about the dangers of smoking. Today, Florida's Supreme Court said it agrees with the jury's finding, but found the award excessive and threw it out.
This is a big win for big tobacco, and it's a real defeat for the public interest and the public health.
University of California professor Stanton Glantz is co-author of two anti-tobacco books, The Cigarette Papers and Tobacco War. David Howard is a spokesman for R.J. Reynolds.
We certainly are pleased that the court unanimously found that the $145 billion punitive damages award in the case violated not only due process, but it was excessive as a matter of law.
Tobacco company stocks soared today. Now this.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service that big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
President Bush was on the phone to the leaders of China and Russia today, urging a united front in dealing with North Korea, but Mr. Bush told reporters these things can't be rushed.
Diplomacy takes a while, particularly when you're dealing with a variety of partners.
I'm Cammie McCormick at the UN.
We think that it's important to have a strong signal.
While the president says diplomacy is the best option, the U.S. backs a proposal here that would impose sanctions on North Korea. China and Russia oppose sanctions. They want a more diplomatic approach. But U.S. Ambassador John Bolton doesn't think North Korea has indicated its willingness to talk.
I don't think that launching missiles is a way to engage in conversation.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
U.S. experts are still analyzing the failure of North Korea's new long-range missile. CBS News correspondent David Martin has that.
Data collected by U.S. intelligence from spy platforms like the tracking ship Observation Island indicate the missile's guidance system failed almost immediately, causing it to tumble out of control, breaking apart from the dynamic stress and scattering debris, most of it over North Korea itself.
Officials still aren't certain where the missile was supposed to go. Columbine. The first calls to 911 came in on the morning of April 20th, 1999.
I am on the floor. You've got a kid in the library. And I've got every student in this library on the floor. You better stay on the floor.
Is there any way you can lock the doors?
Smoke is coming in from out there, and I'm going to go to bed. The guy is right outside the library door, okay? I don't think I'm going to go out there.
Two students, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, opened fire at Columbine High School in Golden, Colorado. They took their own lives after killing 13 people. Today, reporter John Hall was on hand as authorities released nearly 1,000 pages of documents, including the killer's notes.
One notebook page taken from Dylan Klebold's house is an itinerary for the attack on the school. Set bombs at 1109 for 1117. Drive to Clement Park. Gear up. Get back by 1115. Set car bombs for 11:18. Go to outside hill. Wait. After first bombs go off, attack. Then underlined at the end, have fun.
A double defeat for advocates of gay marriage. Georgia's highest court has reinstated a constitutional amendment approved by the voters in 2004, which explicitly bans same-sex unions. And New York's Court of Appeals upheld a state law which allows marriage only between a man and a woman. John Wessel was among the plaintiffs challenging the law.
I had such high hopes because
because of the history of the state for providing equality to all of its citizens.
He and other gay marriage supporters now turn their attention to the legislature, hoping to get the law changed. Mexican election officials have declared conservative Felipe Calderon the winner of the presidential election. You're listening to the CBS World News.
Want to get to the next level?
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
4:06, 6 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Remember also that we are going to be joined by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at 6:30 tonight. We'll be talking about whether the 2004 election was stolen. It was a piece, a blockbuster piece that he did on Rolling Stone. Remember, you can always email me, enid@kctc.com. And we'll be joined by Bill Maher on Monday's program in the 3 o'clock hour. But right now, joining us the authors of the bestseller, The Book of the Dead. And I think we have one of them. Do we have both of them up? Yes, we do. We have Douglas Preston, and we have Lincoln. Let me see if I can do this without messing up. Lincoln Child with us. Hi, Lincoln?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein, and thank you for joining us. And Douglas, are you with us as well?
I'm right here, Enid.
Where are both of you? Douglas, where are you?
Well, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, what a wonderful place. And Lincoln, where are you?
I'm in beautiful, rural, rustic New Jersey.
A state that has hair growing under its armpits. That's so bad. I know that there are beautiful parts of New Jersey. Listen, I discovered your books in a way. A cousin loves reading thrillers. Or her husband, both she and her husband, he's a retired neurosurgeon. They sent me the most dog-eared copy of Thunderhead because a few years ago I ran away to live with the Hopi Indians, and they thought I might like it, and they love your work. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to humor them, and I'm going to read this book. Your work is magnificent. It is such a treat to read both of you. Talk to me about how you came to work together.
Well, Enid, first I want to congratulate you on your excellent literary taste.
Which of you is the contributor to the New Yorker? Is it Douglas?
That's me, yeah.
Okay, and Lincoln is an editor, a former book editor.
That's right. It was my editing of Doug's first nonfiction book, Dinosaurs in the Attic, that actually brought us together originally.
Really? So, Douglas, you started out with a nonfiction book, and then how did you two decide that you were going to work together and had you ever even thought about writing thrillers? Is this something you've been thinking about for a while?
Well, I hadn't been thinking about it, but after I finished Dinosaurs in the Attic, which was a nonfiction book about the Museum of Natural History, Lincoln said to me that he wanted a tour of the behind-the-scenes areas of the museum. So I gave him a tour at midnight. I showed him the whale eyeball collection, the dinosaur bone storage vaults, the gorillas and alcohol. I mean, it was incredible. There are incredible things there that are not on display. And when we were done, we ended up in the Hall of Late Dinosaurs at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Lincoln turned to me and said, "My God, this is the scariest building in the world. We've got to write a thriller set in this building." And that became our first book, The Relic, which was made into a movie by Paramount Pictures and a great success. And then we've been writing them ever since and having a great time with them.
Okay, now when you start to do this, and you do this at what point in your lives? Are you in your 30s when you start to do this?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. You start to do this, and I think it's both easier and harder when you're working with a partner to write a book. Talk to me how that process works. I mean, did you have any idea of what you were going to, what was going to happen? Here's the scary environment, and that becomes the catalyst for a story that somehow develops. How does the process work? Especially one of, are you working together? Or are you doing it long distance? Now it's easy to do it long distance. You can, one can be in Santa Fe, one can be in New Jersey.
We actually went for a period where we didn't see each other for 2 years, and Doug was living in Florence, and I was in America. Yeah, we do it long distance. In the old days, we used primitive modems and faxes. Now we just use the Internet, you know, and email. But the way it works is traditionally, Doug and I will sort of have a brainstorming session over the next 10 chapters or so, and then I will write a document to Doug outlining those 10 chapters, and he writes the first draft. And then I rewrite the first draft in my editorial background, and that really irritates him. So he rewrites what I've done, and that makes me even more angry. This goes back and forth and back and forth until our editor pulls it away from us, basically.
How many drafts do you think an average book goes through?
Well, I think I'd probably, what would you say, Link, about 6 or 8?
Yeah, I'd say at least half a dozen. And the nice thing is we get all four hands on every sentence, so it's completely seamless, and people can't tell where one of us stops, another one begins. But Enid, you said that a partnership is problematic, but in a lot of ways, I think both Doug and I can testify to the fact, since we've written solo books as well as joint books, that solo books are harder to write and they're lonelier to write, you know, for us, because we're such good friends, than it isn't to being writing partners. You know, the downside is you have to split the money, but you have twice as much imagination there. If you're coming up dry someday, you call the other one and he'll have an idea immediately. It just works fantastically that way.
Well, for those of us who would love to, first of all, when I embark on one of your books, I know I'm probably not going to sleep for 3 or 4 days.
That's the idea.
Yeah, is it? Because I know it's going to have to come out okay. Well, I think it might. That's how I console myself. It's going to have to come out okay. But the ride is, it's just a wonderful ride. And Thunderhead was just, oh my God, it was one thing. It was like a roller coaster. It was one thing after another. And I became hooked on your books. And they're beautifully written as well. And I did occasionally, haven't done it lately, but I used to review books every once in a while for the San Francisco Chronicle. So, anyway, I just love your work. So talk to me, about what it takes to write a thriller. What do you have to, what is the thing that we wouldn't even think would surprise us the most to know?
Well, I think, I mean, I don't want to compare ourselves to some of the great writers of the past, but I think that a lot of great literature looks at people pushed into extreme situations of violence or moral dilemmas of great, you know, difficulty. I mean, and, for example, Hamlet. What does Hamlet have? Well, it has ghosts. It has murder. It has insanity. I mean, Hamlet would be considered a modern-day thriller. And so I see ourselves in a great tradition, not that we are, you know, pretending to be Shakespeare or anything like that, but I do see ourselves in a great tradition of telling a fantastic story that really involves the reader, that leaves them breathless, and that maybe even touches on some large issues along the way.
For example?
Well, for example, I think in like Thunderhead, for example, a lot of issues, we touch a lot on the you know, Native Americans versus Anglos and the responsibilities that an archaeologist has towards the people he's studying, towards the culture that he's excavating. And, I mean, a lot of large issues, I think, are dealt with in a very non-pedantic, I hope in an interesting way. I mean, would you feel that we didn't lecture to our audience?
No, you didn't lecture. It was a painless. It was painless and wonderful. And I am guessing with your credentials, I'm guessing that the research is impeccable, and that the fiction revolves around the telling of the story. Although, you know, sometimes people say that the truest things are found in fiction, but that the fiction is in the storytelling, but that the details are pretty accurate. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, absolutely. I do work very hard to make sure that whenever possible, the details are accurate, and also that readers come away from our books knowing about a discipline or about a form of study or of work they might not otherwise know about. For example, in Thunderhead, as you've read, they come away knowing about archaeology, and in The Ice Limit, they come away knowing about engineering, and in our newest book, The Book of the Dead, they come away knowing about ancient Egypt. And what really happened in those tombs and the tomb robbers who desecrated them.
How long does it take you on average to write one of your books?
We have to write a book a year, right, Doug?
Well, it takes us a year to actually write the book, but some of these ideas take 10 years to develop, and I think the Book of the Dead, we've been talking about doing something involving ancient Egypt for, what, about 8 years, don't you think, Link?
At least, yeah. In fact, Thunderhead began life as a book about ancient Egypt and morphed into the Southwest. So sometimes it takes a long time for the idea to percolate until it's just right. You know, you were asking about what it takes to write a thriller, and one thing it takes is you have to, for us, we have to write the kind of book we would like to read. You know, it's a completely honest endeavor. We write the kind of book that would scare us, would keep us turning pages. Readers aren't dumb. They know if they're being written down to, or if they're reading a cynically written book, you know, and that's not what we're about.
Or if you're, or if you're being manipulated as the reader.
Exactly, and readers don't like that.
No, and I think there's a huge art to it. See, we just go into a bookstore, and we plunk down the money, those of us who still know how to read, and those of us who are still going to a bookstore every once in a while, and we don't realize, I think, that it has taken the writers, that the ideas have been percolating for a decade or more, and that it takes quite a while to put everything together and to get it in just the right way. And then it goes out into the world, and it goes out in a tidy little package called a book. And you go in and you pay your $25.95 or your $30 or whatever it is, and you take it home and you devour it. You can't put it down. You devour it in how long it takes you to devour the book, never realizing, I think, always what the effort that went into that treat.
And if you don't realize it, that means we did our job right.
Right. What would we be surprised to know about writing thrillers? I mean, what do you have to know? I always thought about writing mysteries, and how would you describe the difference between a mystery and a thriller?
Well, I think a thriller, the one thing that a thriller has to have is a sense of forward momentum. As a reader, you have to feel like you're thrown into the story, and you're just swept along until the end. And you see people involved in extreme situations of danger, of you know, moral conundrums that are at the very limit, sometimes of violence. There's not a lot of sex in our books, but in some other thrillers, there's quite a bit of it. Lincoln and I aren't good at writing sex scenes.
We need more field research.
Yeah, we're still involved in the research.
How did it happen that Thunderhead morphed or began life as a book about ancient Egypt and it became a book about Native America? I mean, how did you know that it was going to take that turn?
Well, we had a couple of different ideas we were mulling over. One was a book, you know, involving ancient Egypt, and one was another idea involved the Southwest, and then one of us championed one and one championed the other. And we realized finally that we weren't quite ready to write the book on Egypt, and we had the expertise and the knowledge to write the book on the Southwest. And our agent and our new publisher at the time was enthusiastic about that, and that's really how it came into being.
Do you know how your books are going to end when you start them, or do they take you on a journey as well?
Well, we do know how they're going to end. We're not really sure how we're going to get there. You know, sometimes I liken it to standing on a mountain peak, and you're looking across a mist-shrouded valley towards another mountain peak rising above the mists. And you know you have to get to that peak in the distance, but you don't know exactly how you're going to get there. And for us, it's important not to map the books out too carefully, because then it just feels like you're following a map, and you know the characters are just like puppets doing what you tell them to do. We like to kind of leave some surprises for us along the way, which I think, you know, also translates to great surprises and twists for the reader.
My guests are authors Lincoln Child and Douglas Preston. Their newest book is called The Book of the Dead. At what point in writing these books, and you've written, what did you say, 11 so far?
That's right.
At what point did they start to really become bestsellers?
Believe it or not, our first book was a bestseller in paperback, Relic, and we thought, oh boy, now we've made it. Then we had a couple of lean years there, and it really took off again around The Cabinet of Curiosities, which is the book following Thunderhead. You know, we reprised our most beloved hero, Special Agent Pendergast of the FBI. He'd been missing for a few books, and it was a really interesting story set in New York City, and it was a really interesting mystery, and we revealed a lot more about this Special Agent's past and his family, and readers really responded. And since then, every book has done better than the one before it.
I think this is wonderful. Now, are you still doing nonfiction?
Well, I'm still writing occasional pieces for the New Yorker magazine, and I have a piece in the Atlantic Monthly this month, nonfiction piece.
Yes, about Italy.
Yeah, it's about a serial killer known as the Monster of Florence. But again, you know, a lot of these nonfiction, a lot of this nonfiction work, we mine for our fictional books. So you may find in another couple of years a book that's somehow reminiscent of the Monster of Florence.
If you're just joining us, my guest Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child, the new book, their new book, The Book of the Dead. All right, if we want to entertain the idea of maybe writing a thriller one day ourselves, I think a lot of people think that they could do that. I wish I could do that, but I don't think I could do that. What advice would you give us?
My advice would be to steep yourself in your favorite novelists, the ones that you like best. You know, figure out what it is about them that you like, what is it about their style that you like, and then don't parrot that style, but keep it in mind as you write yourself, and you know, try to make your own writing as successful and as enjoyable as theirs. And also, as I said before, write the kind of book you would like to read. You know, write an honest book. Write about what you know about. Don't write a book about being an Apollo astronaut if you know you're a high school student. You know, write about the years that you can identify and write about believably.
Do you get, Douglas, do you get a lot of criticism because you're writing for publications like The Atlantic, The New Yorker, and yet you also have the secret life, not so secret life, as a writer of successful thrillers, blockbuster thrillers?
Well, I'm kind of surprised at how many of our readers love my nonfiction work and also love the thrillers. But then again, I do get an email saying, I read your piece in The New Yorker, and then I picked up that garbage you're writing. How could you? But then I also get letters from people saying, oh, I read those stupid articles you read in The New Yorker. How boring. Why don't you write more thrillers? So I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, Lincoln and I are similar in that we love all different kinds of books. We read fiction. We read nonfiction.
What authors do you like a lot? Lincoln or Douglas?
Of modern readers, we both love 19th century English fiction, you know, Wilkie Collins and Charles Dickens. And of modern readers, we like Thomas Harris, Michael Crichton,
mm-hmm.
Dennis Lehane, mm-hmm. Nelson DeMille.
Mm-hmm. Those are some of your favorites?
Well, we used to like Michael Crichton until he wrote that screed known as State of Fear.
I know, and he cites he annotates it so well that you wonder when you've read it that has he been telling us the truth or has he manipulated the evidence?
No, he's manipulated the evidence for sure. But you know, I mean, it's fine. It's a work of fiction. It's just sad that we have a president who takes his information from works of fiction.
Well, you are listening to Sacramento's Left Channel. So this president, we are not great fans of this president. This administration has been a very difficult one to deal with for those of us who are part of this radio station. So this president is reading anything at all is pretty much a miracle, and probably a great breeze is generating as he moves his lips, even if it's through a Michael Crichton novel, I would guess. What are you working on now? Can you talk about the next book?
We are working on the next Agent Pendergast novel. The Book of the Dead finishes up a trilogy, which we call the Diogenes Trilogy, named after Pendergast's evil brother, who causes all sorts of difficulty. And the Book of the Dead is the explosive confrontation between the two brothers that wraps up this whole trilogy and really brings it to a satisfying ending. So our readers tell us.
And when is this going to happen? When are we going to see this book? Because this is just out.
This Book of the Dead is out. That is the conclusion.
This is the conclusion of the trilogy. And
yeah,
so if you really want to get maximum value, in what order do you want to read? What are the two preceding books that you want to read?
The first one is Brimstone, mm-hmm. and the middle one is Dance of Death. Both of those, by the way, could be read on their own, but as you say, for maximal enjoyment, it's probably best to read the three of them in order.
Okay.
Story arcs make most sense that way. And anyway, the new book, which is yet untitled, takes off in an entirely new direction, and it begins with Agent Pendergast and his mysterious ward named Constance climbing the very remote mountains of Tibet for a mission that, well, Doug, you want to talk about it?
Well, it starts basically in a remote monastery in Tibet, and then the scene shifts to a deadly boring suburb in Connecticut that we call Wellsport, which is sort of based on Lincoln was born in Westport, Connecticut, and I was born in Wellesley, so we're combining the most obnoxious qualities of both our hometowns. But of course, it's deadly boring until it isn't deadly boring for long. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Terrible things start to happen.
And have either of you been to Tibet?
No, neither one of us have been to Tibet. Although I have, I know the Dalai Lama. I spent some time with the Dalai Lama, and I know quite a bit about Tibetan religion and Tibetan Buddhism. But really, the novel only has one scene in Tibet, and then it quickly shifts to more familiar ground for us.
I've always been intrigued by Tibet, and now they have that that new train that bridges China and Tibet. It may not be a good thing, but it's at 16,000 feet, and they provide oxygen. I've been reading about it. It's kind of fascinating. Lincoln Child and Douglas Preston, thank you so much for joining us today. The new book is The Book of the Dead, and we're going to read it. This is going to keep us up for the next several days.
Well, thank you very much for having us on the show. You've asked some excellent questions.
I doubt that I have. I doubt that I have, but you two have been too gracious to notice that I haven't. Oh. So thank you both very much, Lincoln Child and Douglas Preston. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Thank you very much. Well, the traffic's looking pretty good out there. And lows tonight, though, speaking of weather, 57, highs tomorrow about 98. We do have slow over top of the mountain on 50, then slow again at Riverside. Westbound Cap City Freeway, slow traffic at Cal Expo. Back with more Enid Live at its AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Exposing the right as wrong. It's Enid Live at 349-1320 on Sacramento's Left Channel.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, the sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sit on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete disorder is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Woo!
happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight. Yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? So we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live. For a lot of people, it's been a really short week. Hardly seems like it's Thursday, but we're always happy because we're running right into the arms of Friday. If you're just joining us, you've missed a wonderful conversation with the two authors, Child and Preston, who have written a new book called The Book of the Dead. And I am a big fan of their work. And I've already started the book, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child, and Douglas writes for, well, The Atlantic Monthly and for the New Yorker magazine, and these books are just beautifully written, and they're really terrific. They're really wonderful to tuck into one of these things, and you won't go to sleep for a couple of days, so I recommend their work. And if you've just joined us, we are going to be joined at 6:30 by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has written a blockbuster piece in Rolling Stone that has gotten almost no attention. He's asking whether the 2004 election was stolen. Well, I think we all know the answer to that, and he documents it really thoroughly, and still nobody has paid any attention at all. None of the mainstream, I haven't seen anything very much in the mainstream media. It was poo-pooed, of all places, by Salon.com, so I'm sort of off Salon.com right now. So that's coming up at 6:30. Bill Maher will be joining us on Monday. And tomorrow we're going to be joined by Lane Petrocelli, who owns Book Passage in Corte Madera, which is one of the finest independent bookstores in the country. And we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets somewhere in this broadcast to Bill Maher. He's going to be at the, where is he going to be? The Crest Theater, I think. And he's going to be there, I think, July the 23rd. And if you go to our website, 1320leftchannel.com. You have to register to become a Left Channel Legionnaire, and you can win a mountain bike, and you can win some Bill Maher tickets. But you can also win them by listening to Enid Live, that flea market of ideas. And I like to think we're an idea lab around here, and we talk about all kinds of stuff, and we're a flea market of all kinds of giveaways, and we have everything going on around here. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about a poll out that says that Phil Angelides trails Arnold Schwarzenegger by about 7 points. It was about 3 points in March, and then it was neck and neck in May. And now Arnold has leaped ahead. Arnold has said he's not going to do any tax increase in the second term. No tax. Read my lips. No new taxes. The poll also suggests that if Phil is able to harness all that Bush Iraq stuff and link Arnold with it, that he has a far better chance of succeeding. And for the moment, however, Phil seems to be missing in action. I don't know what is going on and why it's such a slow start, but the governor has taken a run right out the gate. He said today that he's not going to increase taxes as governor if he's reelected. Now listen, he calls press conferences. There's a report now blasting the prison health system, blaming the governor. And he calls these perky press conferences where he has no ideas to share, no legislation plan, nothing really to talk about. But you know what? It's a photo op. The cameras love the governor. He likes to schmooze and cruise with the press and with the people who show up, and it makes the news, and it seems like he's doing something. In fact, he's not doing much. A lot of people are disgusted with both of them, but because Arnold has got more charisma, I think, and because he's a celebrity, and because he is the incumbent, he really has a pretty good shot at winning the next election. So Phil really's got his work cut out for him, and particularly since the primary was so bruising and it used up all that money. All that money between those two, Wesley and Angelides, that could have been used to fuel one of those candidates' run against Arnold. And I'm glad, I think of the two candidates, the better candidate is Phil. I think he would make a better governor. Everybody here in the race is imperfect. So I think we got to come up with some kind of a slogan that will join Arnold and Bush together. Even though Arnold wants to distance himself, Arnold pretends he's really not a Republican. Arnold likes to, you know, we know that Arnold is sleeping with a Democrat. We know that Arnold has a Democratic gay chief of staff. We know a lot of things about Arnold, but guess what? He's still a Republican. I'm going to give you that little Buddhist story about the snake that begs to get a ride across the river with the Buddhist monk. He begs the monk. The monk said, oh, no, you're going to bite me. The snake says, no, I need a ride. I cross the river. I can't get there on my own. I wouldn't dream of biting you. I wouldn't even think about it. And, you know, this goes on back and forth and back. No, I'm never going to bite you. So the monk breaks down and he says, okay, hop on my back. And the snake hops on his back and they're just about across the river. And the snake bites him. And the monk says, you said you weren't going to bite me. And the snake said, hey, I'm a snake. So this is what, hey, Arnold's a Republican. That's what we have to remember. Arnold is a Republican. A panel is despite opposition from business groups, efforts to boost California's minimum wage and provide automatic cost of living increases cleared a first hurdle. But here is a minimum wage advance. My God, I mean, this is a two-step dollar an hour increase. A two-step dollar an hour increase. Do you want to comment on that? Could you live on that? 349-1320 or toll-free 866-626-1320. What our Harvard professor told us about happiness and achieving it yesterday was that money has a big effect on increasing your happiness if you have been at the poverty level and what you make puts you into the middle class, then it has a huge effect on your happiness. But if you are making $50,000 a year and suddenly you win the lottery and you have got $50 million a year, it really doesn't make you much happier. There's a story in USA Today. It's a front page story. And it talks about how the FBI can gather all the private data on you at once. And by the way, a consultant kind of working for one of these agencies was able to hack into the FBI. He did it with some authority, but then he got so curious he exceeded the authority that was given to him, and he really hacked deeply into the system, and now he's up on charges. But it's not too hard to hack into the FBI system, apparently. Apparently it's pretty easy to do that. Well, when the FBI office in New Haven, Connecticut, received an email in February of last year that looked like a terrorist threat, agents followed a familiar routine. They asked the service provider, a group of Connecticut public libraries, for the real name, street address, and internet logs of the sender. They had no search warrant. They had no grand jury subpoena or court order. Instead, a local FBI official hand-delivered a national security letter, one of more than 9,000 sent to finance, telephone, and internet companies last year that described the records needed. Under a federal law expanded by the Patriot Act, the written request was all the authority that the FBI needed. The Patriot Act also barred librarians from even disclosing that request that the FBI made to anyone. The librarians, and good for them, those armies of women wearing Oxfords, well, they don't anymore, but they used to a long time ago, marching for our civil liberties when nobody else was brave enough to do that, men and women, I shouldn't say women, but men and women, marching forward on our behalf. Good for them. Librarians refused to hand over the information, and instead they filed a federal lawsuit challenging the secret letters as an unconstitutional infringement on free speech. That email threat that the FBI was going into the libraries to find out who delivered wound up to be a hoax. Yet the lawsuit it sparked, only the second legal challenge to national security letters in their 20-year history, provides a rare public glimpse of the vast amount of banking, credit, telephone, and internet records that anti-terrorism or counterintelligence investigators can have simply by asking. So they can go in, and I think you have to make the assumption that they can determine anything they want to about you. Now, for the right wing, people like Rush Limbaugh, that's just perfectly okay, except for when they're scrutinizing his Viagra prescriptions and any other meds and drugs that he's putting in, pumping into his system in vast quantities. Then it's not okay. But I think you have to assume that anything you do is going to be monitored in one way or another. And I think anything that the left channel does, my guess is that we are very monitored. I would guess that. Maybe not. Maybe we're just little rabbits under the radar. But I'm guessing that if they are monitoring grannies for peace, they are probably monitoring anybody who's involved with the left channel. 349-1320 or toll-free at all calls to AM 1320. Enid Live, our toll-free, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Traffic looking pretty good. Slow northbound 99 and southbound actually at Fruit Ridge Road. We have northbound Cap City Freeway at T Street. A disabled vehicle with the doors open. Eastbound 80 at exit 131. That's in Auburn, though. The collision, two vehicles that stopped traffic. Emergency vehicles on the right-hand side of the road. Northbound Cap City Freeway just south of T Street. Another disabled vehicle as well. We'll be back with more Enid Live. It is AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Completely unique experience.
Streaming live at am1320leftchannel.com. Cash.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and
murder and prejudice. America's strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
.444 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And remember, you can email me, enid@kctc.com. You can comment on the guests that we've had. I don't get a lot of comment on our guests, and I would love to have the feedback, because I try to pick people that I think are really interesting and that are worth our time. So people who write good books, people who are thinking intriguing thoughts, these are the kinds of guests that I'm interested in, performers, artists, poets, you name it, business people, scientists, sports people, sex therapists. I mean, we do it all here. Sex, scandal, we cover all our bases. There was a story that emerged about the governor, about Arnold. And it happened late on a Friday, which is what happens, I think. This is what the administration does. They'll do a document dump late on a Friday night, hoping that it doesn't get much traction, and that's what usually happens. And I don't think this did get much traction. We talked about it very briefly, but I want to reprise this with you because I want to remind you, for those of you Democrats who are for some reason or other fed up with Phil Angelides or any Democratic candidates, and, oh, well, Arnold, how bad can he be? He's, you know, appealing to moderates, and he's appealing to independents. That's how he's positioning himself. Well, listen up. Arnold Schwarzenegger's office, in charge of protecting California against terrorism, has been tracking demonstrations staged by political and anti-war groups, a practice that senior law enforcement officials say is an abuse of civil liberties. So let me say that again. Schwarzenegger's office has been tracking demonstrations staged by political and anti-war groups, a practice that senior law enforcement officials say is an abuse of civil liberties. Daily reports prepared for the Office of Homeland Insecurity in recent months contain details on the whereabouts and purpose of a number of political demonstrations throughout California. The source of the information is listed in some cases as federal law enforcement agencies, including Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency and investigative arm of U.S. Homeland Security. So here are some of the events that Arnold's administration has been tracking. An animal rights rally outside a Canadian consulate office in San Francisco to protest the hunting of seals. Now, why would you track something like that? You tell me. A demonstration in Walnut Creek at which U.S. Congressman George Miller, Democrat from Martinez, and other officials spoke against the war in Iraq. A Women's International League for Peace and Freedom gathering at a courthouse in Santa Barbara in support of an anti-war protester, 56-year-old Salinas woman, facing federal trespassing charges. California Attorney General Bill Lockyer's office condemned Schwarzenegger's actions, saying that they violated the group's constitutional right of, constitutional right of free speech. When people exercise their First Amendment rights to rally, to march, to protest, they should not have to worry that intelligence officials are watching them or their activities and are in any way being painted with the terrorism brush, Lockyer's spokesman said. That kind of conduct by anti-terrorism intelligence agencies threatens civil liberties, runs counter to our values, and violates this office's policy regarding criminal intelligence gathering. So let me ask you this question. You think we have any civil liberties left? Here is the front page story in today's USA Today, where they don't have to get a warrant. They don't have to do anything. They can surveil us in a million different ways. And one way they do it is they just a letter, and the FBI can go in and gather all kinds of private data on you. So the idea that we have any privacy at all, I'm always laughing when you go to the doctor's office, you know, and you fill out those HIPAA forms, forget about it. Everybody knows what your situation is. Everybody's talking really loud on cell phones, so one of life's juiciest pleasures, eavesdropping, is a great deal easier now than it used to be. And the governor's office, because I don't guess the governor doesn't have anything much to do. You know, you put your makeup on in the morning, you get your hair all chestnutted up like that, and what's left to do? You got to make appearances, public appearances, personal appearances. So, you know, he goes around, he schmoozes, he cruises, he has press conferences on issues like scathing, you know, reports about how his administration has handled prison issues and health care within prisons and so on. He blithely is oblivious to all of this. He is a consummate optimist, and he just, you know, rolls along on a cloud through life believing that he can. He is the big engine, well, the formerly big engine, now a bit shrunken engine that could, the condom stuff with walnuts that could. And he can. And so he's just going along on a cloud of optimism. Let's have a press conference now. I'm playing the role of governor, and gosh, I want a press conference. Oh, gosh, speaking of which, Dickie turns 60, and I think he turned 60 today. And Dickie and Mrs. Dickie are going to be on Larry King Live tonight. 60. Is that his IQ or is that his age or is that both, do you think? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. So here's the governor's office. So in case you're thinking about embracing Arnold for four more years of Arnold, oh, I'm cool with Arnold. That's all right. Well, he tracks these political anti-war groups. Well, you know, I don't have anything to worry about. They can track me if you want. But, you know, here's Rush. Rush says, yeah, but don't look at my prescription. Don't look at the Viagra. That's what Rush would say. It's all right if they listen to all of his email traffic, his mail, his phone calls. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Do we have any civil liberties left is the question. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
You betcha. We have lows tonight near 57. A little bit of breeze going on tomorrow. Highs near 98. Hopefully a little breeze. That's nice and hot. North Sac, Sunrise Boulevard and Winding Way have a traffic hazard. Vehicle in the middle of the roadway there. Northbound I-5 and 95 in Woodland. The disabled vehicles blocking traffic there. Slow northbound 99 and southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Also a disabled vehicle in the middle at northbound Cap City Freeway at T Street. Stop. Traffic. We'll be back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Messages.
Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.454 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Oh, I have to ask you, have you been telling three of your friends every day that Enid Live exists and that AM 1320 exists and that they can listen to Air America Radio, Air America programming here on AM 1320, and they can start their day with the Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, 5:30 to 9, Monday through Friday, and they can listen on the weekend to Bobby Kennedy and Mike, I want to say Pep Antonio, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. They do Ring of Fire, and it's really a good show. On the weekends and both on Saturday and on Sunday. And we are going to be talking to Bobby Kennedy at 6:30 today on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And let me remind you, Bill Maher will be our guest on Monday in the 3 o'clock hour. And somewhere in this broadcast, we are going to give away tickets for Bill Maher's appearance in Sacramento. Should we do that right now? Why don't we do that right now? Why don't I can have all the details here. And we'll figure out what you have to do to win the tickets. Maybe you have to tell me who the two candidates are for the governor of California. No, all right. You have to be, do I have the tickets so I can, oh, okay, good. So I can, give you all, it's at the Crest Theater. It's July 23rd at the Crest Theater. At 8 p.m., you have to be able to pick up the tickets right here at 5345 Madison Avenue. This is for Bill Maher, and the tickets have gotten lost on way. Okay, and so, all right, you have to be the fourth caller who can tell me the exact color hair of Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you're the fourth caller and you know the exact color hair of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you win two tickets to see Bill Maher on Sunday, July... Oh, it's 22nd, not the 23rd. Sunday, July 22nd, 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. It says 22nd right here. And I'll give you the number, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Be the fourth caller to tell me what is the color of the governor's hair and makeup, because they appear to be the same shade. And if you are the fourth caller who knows that, you are going to win two tickets to Bill Maher... and you have to come and pick them up at 5345, I think we have a winner, 5345 Madison Avenue, right here, and you have to do it on business hours, 8:30 to 5:30, and I think we're here on Thursdays until 7, and you have to bring a valid ID to claim the prize, and we're going to be giving away. So don't fret. You will have a shot at winning, tickets to Bill Maher when he comes to town, and we have this as, July 22nd, so let me look on, because I thought it was July 23rd.
M1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Was North Korea aiming for Hawaii? A Japanese newspaper says the long-range missile launched the other day was pointed at waters near the Hawaiian Islands. No confirmation of that. The missile tumbled out of control shortly after liftoff. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the North Korean leader might be under pressure to step up testing.
Kim Jong-il's military advisors are almost certainly telling him the failure was the consequence of not having tested a long-range missile in 8 years, and urging him to try again. U.S. intelligence says there is no sign another Taepodong is being prepared for launch, a process that would take days, if not weeks.
President Bush is trying to rally support for U.N. sanctions on North Korea.
We're dealing with a person who was asked not to fire a rocket by the Chinese, the South Koreans, the United States, the Japanese, and the Russians. And he fired 7 of them.
So far, China and Russia are resisting sanctions, preferring stepped-up diplomacy. Tobacco stocks shot up today when Florida's highest court threw out a $145 billion jury award in a smoking case. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has more.
It's taken 12 years, but cigarette makers have gotten a huge legal win.
Certainly, it is a major victory for the tobacco industry and for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company that the court unanimously ruled that the punitive damages award should be reversed.
David Howard is with R.J. Reynolds, which was looking at a $36 billion payout in the case, which many said would bankrupt the tobacco industry. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
It's a victory Tom DeLay doesn't want. A federal judge in Austin ruled today that because DeLay won the Republican primary in March, he must remain on the ballot in his former congressional district, even though he resigned from the House last month. Chad Dunn is a lawyer for the Texas Democratic Party.
The integrity of the process is more important than any particular individual, even Tom DeLay.
The Democrats sued to keep DeLay on the ballot because they believe it will help their candidate, Nick Lampson. DeLay maintains he now lives and votes in Virginia, even though he still owns a home in the Houston area. If your job skills match the market, this is a good time to look for work. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano reports on a new survey by CareerBuilder.com.
At the top of the in-demand list is healthcare, sales, customer service and IT, retail, accounting and finance. With a full third of hiring managers saying they need professionals and technical workers in these areas. And up from 12% last year, 15% are now on the prowl for managers, directors and senior execs.
More than a quarter of the managers surveyed said they now do most of their searches for qualified candidates online. A better day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials up 73 points to 11,225. Oil prices slipped a bit to $75.14 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunt.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Real pirates aren't A-list actors.
They're trained killers.
Real pirates don't sip lattes.
They are hyper-violent. I mean, terrifying.
Real pirates don't stab you in the back. They stab you in the front. True Caribbean Pirates. Before Hollywood came calling. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there today as nominations for TV's Emmy Awards were announced.
24 has the most nominations for a series. 12, right behind with 11, is Grey's Anatomy.
One step just behind.
An old standby, The Sopranos, has 7 nominations. All 3 are up for Best Drama, along with The West Wing and House. Up for Best Comedy are Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Office, Scrubs, and 2.5 Men. Most nominations overall went to Steven Spielberg's highly praised miniseries, Into the West. It has 16. The envelopes will be opened on August 27th. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Television Academy in Los Angeles.
This is President Bush's birthday. He's among the baby boomers turning 60 this year. Mr. Bush says he used to think 60 was old, but now he says it's a lot younger than you think. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
There's the Safeway at.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, Hour 3. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We've already given away two tickets to Bill Maher, and that is Sunday night, July 23rd. We will be giving away more tickets as we, you know, as the days lead up to his appearance here. And also, he's going to be our guest Monday in the 3 o'clock hour. So Bill Maher, the comedian, will be joining us Monday in the 3 o'clock hour. And in the 6:30 hour today, we will be joined by Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He wrote an amazing piece in Rolling Stone called "Was the 2004 Election Stolen?" Well, I think most of us who listen to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, I think most of us know the answer to that. But he did some painstaking work, I think some really good writing, some wonderful reporting, a lot of annotation, citing a lot of references. And guess what? This piece made almost zero impact. I didn't see anything referencing it in the mainstream press. And here's somebody with a big name, a big pedigree. The piece was well written. Rolling Stone has a pretty well respected editorial process, and not much came out of it. We don't really want to know about stuff. You know, we were talking earlier about the scathing report of the condition of prisons in California. Nobody can get the minimum wage off the dime. It's one bad story after another. So, you know what? We don't want to know about it. We are going to attack the gay marriage amendment. Because it gives us something to do. Oh, and when we're not doing that, I think let's go after immigrants. And Molly Ivins is talking about how the Bush administration, playbook is beginning to happen. And let me just add this. One of you called in, how to get out of Iraq. Remember how Democrats were being criticized for cutting and running? She said, leave and let live. Leave and let live. That's good. That's very good. And Dale from our sales department, terminate Bush League government. Terminate Bush League government. Okay, so here's Molly Ivins, and she said, while the rest of you were celebrating life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness on the 4th of July, I was keeping an eye on Karl Rove because, Molly Ivins said, someone has to. A Bush signals shift in stance on immigrants headline in the early warning is the early warning sign that we are about to get an all-out immigrant-bashing campaign for the fall elections, complete with xenophobia, racism, and blaming the weakest, least powerful people in the country for everything that is wrong with it. House Republicans who know a good socially divisive issue when they see one are perfectly happy to blame illegal workers for everything. Trade policy, repealing taxes for the rich, corruption in Congress. It's all done by illegal workers. Everywhere you look in the society, there's a bunch of people named Gomez and Ramirez and all of them making decisions from the top in charge of the Pentagon, heading the military-industrial complex, deciding the rich need tax relief, in charge of the stupid war in Iraq, making decisions on Wall Street. What do you mean the only people you know named Gomez and Ramirez push brooms and pick cantaloupes? Can't you see that everything that's wrong with this country is because of illegal immigrants? It's not their fault. The people in charge have nothing to do with it. Well, okay, so here is Molly Ivins reading the tea leaves. She says, I'm watching Karl Rove because somebody has to, and what she sees is immigrant bashing on the horizon for the next election. And I say this because one of you came in who live in the neighborhood. Sydney came in, and Sydney lives in the neighborhood here where the station is located. And he came in with the most poisonous screed I have ever seen in my life. Two of them. And he says that the neighborhood, which is right around this radio station, and we are on Madison between Garfield and Hemlock, Madison between Garfield and Hemlock, He says that all of his neighbors, and he thinks for a couple of block area, were blanketed with this. First of all, it says attack Mexico, and it's signed by somebody whose resume includes knighted into the KKK, founder White Student Union, founder Aryan Youth Movement, president Sacramento Skinheads, founder Race War, Aryan Underground, Aryan Insurgency, and it goes on and on and on. So here's somebody who is a real racist, and he is advocating. He says, I have advocated that the Mexican-American border be closed. He said, this is no longer my position. I now advocate a third war upon Mexico. Over time, our American, our Euro-American, our white Aryan technology, which ranges from creating automobiles to landing the first white man on the moon to launching robotic rovers to Mars, our unique Aryan rocket science way of thinking will eventually replace the area filled by an illegal alien, and he goes on and on. So I bring this up, and The newspaper that accompanied this was, first of all, soggy wet with who knows what, dated in January, filled with invective against everybody, Jews, illegals, any other race. It's looks like a Nazi skinhead kind of a publication. Very thick, lots of pages, stinking up the corner of my studio because it was so wet. I didn't want it anywhere near. But I wanted to think about whether or not to talk about this. And what made me go in the direction of discussing it is this Molly Ivins column, where the Bush administration is going to bash immigrants in order to win the next election. And this racist, anti-Semitic, anti-Hispanic, anti-everything, Aryan propaganda is just the farthest point on that continuum that is being fanned by this administration, which will do anything it can to divide us. It will do whatever it takes to win. It does not care about the cost to this country of using the tactics that it's going to use. And by bashing immigrants in order to win the next election, what they are really doing is supporting these vicious racists, these hideous, vicious racists who are blanketing Sacramento neighborhoods with their filthy, venomous publications. And I remember the last time in Sacramento when I lived here, people would call up to tell me about these kinds of groups. And we all know that there were synagogues that were firebombed here in Sacramento. 349-1320. So you might want to comment about this. 866-626-1320. Let's go to the phones. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to brought up a point on a different issue. What Bush said today about the North Korea is not real alarming. He said exactly to Iraq at that time, saying that prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And with this psychopath president that think that he's going to bring to the case of Armageddon, he might just do it, invade North Korea.
Well, it's entirely – this is a psychopath president. You're right. He wraps himself in a really charming, affable kind of a package, but he is a psychopath, and he's now 60, which matches precisely his IQ points. And you're right, we need to be worried about it. When you really have weapons of mass destruction, I don't know what he's going to do, because I think that's what prevents us from going to war against Korea. He's talking the talk, but whether he'll walk the walk or not, I don't know. I hope he doesn't. John, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Sue in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, I'll make it brief, Enid. I am coming across some very white Aryan racist students in the junior high school and out of the Rio Linda area. And they're talking to me, because I'm Caucasian, as if I'm going to join up with them. And they're being indoctrinated by their parents. And it's very sick and twisted.
Tell me, first of all, how old are these kids?
Well, the two in my class right now while I'm teaching summer school are 14. But they'll come up to me at a break and say, I don't think I can survive in this school. And I'll ask them, well, why? And they say, there's too many Mexicans and blacks, and I just won't be here with them. And the saddest thing is...
And what do you say to that? When these kids come up, when they've been indoctrinated at home, and they say, I can't be with somebody just because their skin is a different color or their heritage is a little bit different, how do you deal with that?
I quote Dr. Martin Luther King, and I say, isn't it great that we can be in a country where we can judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin? And I make sure that my environment is peaceful when they're there with all the other students of color. It's a very diverse group that I teach. But
do they get along? Will they even speak to each other? Or are they? How does this shake down?
There are times when the white students who are Aryan supremacists will say under their breath comments, and I'm surprised that they haven't been assaulted or condemned by the students of color
do kids pretty much know that these are Aryan kids in the school? I would think that it's fairly common knowledge.
They're subtle in some respects, but what is really frightening, and I think your listeners should be aware of, is that these students have alluded to the fact that there are groups in Sacramento that have meetings, that plan these events, that I'm sure pass out the information, as you mentioned earlier, blanket neighborhoods. And just one last comment, because I have an appointment and I don't want to take up your airtime. The particular students I feel so sadly for, because they're in summer school because they're failing and they're unintelligent. And I think a lot of, they're not unintelligent, they've been handicapped.
Are you talking about the Aryan students are failing?
Yeah, I'm saying it's just a sad irony that these students
who are supposed to be the master race can't make it in junior high, and yet they're the master race.
No, they can't. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole branch of these individuals, and their parents have no better way to use their time and what gifts they have been given than to look at other people and condemn them. And so,
do you think they're actively planning things like firebombings or anything that's dangerous? Do you have any sense of that?
If I knew specifics, I would definitely, you know, do something to prevent that. So I can't say, yes, I know this specifically, but they're talking about groups that meet, and one of them actually put a, it's very alarming because it's real, it's really happening, and I know for a fact the 14-year-olds didn't conjure it up themselves. The things they're saying are coming from...
Well, clearly, we are shocked at these hideous screeds that were dropped off at the station today by a neighbor, someone who lives in the area, I don't know how far away from where we are located, but somewhere not too far away, who said several blocks were blanketed with this stuff. You should see, it's just filthy and dumb. It's written by people who only know how to hate. And I remember this underbelly aspect from the last time I lived in Sacramento, and I had hoped that it had disappeared, but I guess my hopes were misplaced. Sue, I thank you very much.
And I try to educate the students too about the effects that culture has when we start blaming one race for an issue, or when there's an economic downturn.
Well, these are people too dumb to breathe, to tell you the truth, to believe this stuff. You know, if they have IQs hovering at room temperature, at even Dickie's level, you know, it would be an amazement. I think we're talking about low two digits here. Sue, I thank you very much for the
You're
call.
Welcome.
And thanks for the heads up, too. But, you know, but these vicious people who are not bright, it's a lethal combination to be vicious and dumb at the same time, can do a great deal of damage. And you have an administration that wants to fan all these divisions and fan this hatred and fan it in order to get elected, and they don't see the continuum where it goes to these nasty fringes. 349-1320 or 866-620-1320. Annette in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yes, this is just starting to sound even more like Germany, because in the 30s, when the economy of Germany was bottoming out, Hitler, of course, he turned around and he blamed the Jews and he blamed all the minorities for the problem. And I can see this race card being pulled, and because Bush has failed the economic policies and the debacle in Iraq and everything, let's
you and him fight and I'll hold your coat. It's a way to change the subject, and anybody who believes in this kind of propaganda is dumb by definition. Really too dumb to breathe. But there are a lot of people who believe it.
Oh, and very scary. And the other thing that I was wondering is, how long is it going to take Arnie to try to redistrict California?
Well, how long is it going to take Arnie to strip mine it when he has the opportunity to do it? You got to be careful in that first term when it's just a recall. But when you have, now you have a full term to go to work and to satisfy your masters, the energy companies, when you're not doing things on behalf of the people, but when you're doing them on behalf of special interests. And, you know, as much as Arnie wants to position himself as Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm sure he is Mr. Nice Guy, he's still a Republican. Remember the snake who promised the Buddhist priest he was never going to bite him.
He's trying to paint the state red, and if he hasn't already promised the state to Bush or to the Republicans rather, because Bush won't be running, but still it's scary.
You have to look and see how they're tracking ordinary political groups that are active, that they are tracking him as though they are terrorists. He has appointed some very unnerving conservatives to his educational advisory boards, people who are very controversial and not thought highly of. I mean, there are lots of places where he can make a difference, and the difference he's making is not a good difference. He's not somebody who spent a lot of time thinking about policy. He's somebody who wants to play a governor because that's what he can do best. He's an actor. Annette, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. And don't get that confused with just because he's playing the role that he really is. I don't care how much chestnut, that cute little chestnut makeup he wears, he's still an actor. 349-1320 or toll-free 866-620-61320. Our neighbor Sydney brought these screeds in where here's somebody who is advocating a third war on Mexico. And here is the guy's here is the guy's resume, and he proudly includes this in the screed that he sends out. After reading this flyer, he ends by saying, "You should deeply consider murdering a Mexican family tonight." That's what he's advocating. After reading this flyer, you should deeply consider murdering a Mexican family tonight. If you're a, and then he uses an epithet for being Mexican, here's where I'm located, and he gives an address in Oroville. So you can pull off a cowardly gang drive-by shooting, but please don't pick up the phone to make a bunch of threats like a little punk. Pick up a gun and be silent. Freshly dug graves await you. This is a pig. This is really a very dumb pig who is trying to be provocative because he probably weighs 5,000 pounds. As much, you know, his brain power is inversely proportional to his weight, you know, and but he's a nasty, hateful person. Very likely a Rush Limbaugh listener. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about this? How do we deal with it? What do you know about these Aryan groups, these skinhead groups here in Sacramento? You don't have to use your real name. Get close to the radio, pull the fedora down over your face. We won't know who you are. You can be anonymous. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Thank you very much, Enid. We got a little bit of traffic going on. Pleasant Valley Road at Racket Way over in Placerville. Stop and traffic in Sacramento. Westbound I-80 just west of Enterprise Boulevard. There's another traffic hazard in the middle. Westbound 50 and northbound I-5 in South Sac. Two vehicles have got into it as well. Northbound just north I-5 of 95. There's a disabled vehicle stopping traffic over the top of the mountain on 50. Slow as usual and 99 southbound there at Fruit Ridge Road. Slow down for that. In fact, in the left lane, we got a traffic hazard there. Back with more Enid Live. It's AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire.
To make America where we want it to be. A literate country and a hopeful country.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Is It's All That Biz with Jim Jacoby on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Brought to you by Metro PCS. Here's Jim.
Good Thursday afternoon, everybody. Well, on talk that the Federal Reserve Board may be coming to an end on raising interest rates, the market rallied today. The Dow Industrials were up 73 points to 11,225. The NASDAQ added nearly 2 points to 21.55. Far and away the biggest news story today, the top court in Florida has ruled that Altria, you may know them as Philip Morris, and other tobacco companies don't have to pay $145 billion, that's with a B, $145 billion to Florida smokers. The ruling affirms a lower court's ruling that the verdict in 2000 was grossly excessive and proof of a runaway jury. The tobacco companies held that the punitive damage award would bankrupt them. The ruling eliminates the biggest financial risk to the tobacco industry from lawsuits over smoking-related deaths and removes a roadblock to Altria's plan to break up the company to make it more valuable to shareholders. On that news today, Altria jumped $4.43 to $77.76. The other news story comes from the merger and acquisition front. Valesis Communications had agreed to buy Advo for about $1.12 billion in cash, adding direct mail marketing services to that company. On that news, Valesis dropped $3.55 to $19.67, but Advo jumped $11.23 to $35.49 a share. Looking at the bond market, pretty good day today. The 30-year long bond jumped a half a point, depressing the yield on that piece of paper down to 5.23%. Oil added just a penny, but that is a record high, $75.20 a barrel. And gold jumped $6.80 to $636.50 the ounce. This is Jim Jacoby from A.G. Edwards for Sacramento's Left Channel, AM 1320.
All That Biz with Jim Jacoby is heard every weekday on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and is brought to you by Metro PCS. Permission to speak freely.
The mission of the...
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Bobby Kennedy Jr. will be joining us at 6:30 to talk about, was the 2004 election stolen? I think maybe we know the answer to that question. Tracy from Citrus Heights, congratulations. Tracy won a pair of tickets to Bill Maher when he appears in Sacramento July 23rd at the Crest Theater. We will be giving away more tickets, and Bill Maher will be my guest Monday afternoon at the three o'clock hour. Well, it feels like more. 3 o'clock feels like morning. We're talking about this administration. If you look at Molly Ivins' column, if she's keeping her eye on Karl Rove because she says somebody has to, and she feels like what they're getting ready to do is to bash immigrants in order to win the next election. And I talk about that because one of our neighbors here, and we are on Madison between Hemlock and Garfield, brought in the most vicious, nastiest, Aryan, skinhead, anti-Hispanic, anti-Semitic, anti-everything stuff that the neighborhood apparently was blanketed. He thought a couple of 2-3 blocks worth of blanketing, suggesting that you murder people who are not Aryan. Just, you know, go out and do that. And it's just it's got such a stink about it, this stuff. But there are whole cadres of these people apparently in Sacramento. So if you know anything about it, I'd like to hear from you. And this is the far end of the continuum that people like Bush and Rove are fanning when they bash immigrants and when they foment discontent. 3-4-9-13-20 or 866-626-1320, and they do it only to win an election. Joe, calling from North Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid.
9-13-20.
Joe, you got to have your radio off. Sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Can't do that. Mark in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, you know, so all these people bashing these immigrants, man, they should get off their backs, man. They work hard enough up in this country picking tomatoes and doing jobs that other people that are supposedly more prosperous should be doing or could be doing and won't do. You know, I mean, like, if it wasn't for them, food prices would be through the roof right now, you know.
Well, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, said if you picked up and deported the people who were here illegally, New York would have to shut down. They couldn't do it. And you know what? It happened that when those big rallies were held, Los Angeles, a lot of places pretty much shut down. A lot of businesses had to shut down.
Sure. Sure. Hey, it's harvest season coming up pretty soon. Have them line up. The Aryan Nation, if they got nothing better to do, have them get out there.
No, they're really too fat and too dumb to be able to do anything very worthwhile, is my guess.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's something that's always going to go on, but I'll tell you what, I know some people who are in Aryan Brotherhood and all that, and I feel, you know, hey, it's good to be proud of your race and what have you.
Wait a minute, you know people in the Aryan Brotherhood?
Yeah. I should say X.
X? Are they in jail, are you saying?
No, they just learned a better way of life because they found out that their butts were against the wall like the rest of us. They found out that it's better to coexist than to lose it all.
Well, I think the kind of people who subscribe to this kind of thinking are not too bright to begin with, and they swallow the line that somehow whatever is going wrong in their lives is because of this group or that group, and they don't want to see what the real cause is. Mark, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. If you were a member of one of these skinhead groups, these Aryan groups, these nasty, vicious, anti-Semitic, anti-Hispanic groups, and you want to call us, I invite the phone call. 349-1320. Or 866-626-1320. Sarah in Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
99% of the time I agree with everything you say. But I have to make a comment, and this may be something that I'm reflected in my own problems, but there's been more than once you've connected weight in a derogatory manner yourself. You just connected the man who you thought that wrote the leaflets that had been passed out with being unintelligent and overweight. And I have to say that kind of sounds like you got a little prejudice going on yourself.
Well, you might have nabbed me, Sarah. You might have.
Not the first time I've heard you make comments.
Well, I want to say something. I want to say something. I know that for a long time, and I don't know if it's still the case, Sacramento was the home of the National Association for Fat Acceptance. And I know that we are obese as a society. And I know I've fought my own weight problems, and I've managed to succeed, but not without a lot of work on it. And I know it's an issue for a lot of people. So I think if I were naturally as svelte as I, you know, as you would want to be, maybe I wouldn't make those comments. But I've really had to work at keeping my weight down, and I think most of us don't.
Well, that's possible, but connecting unintelligence and racist with being overweight, I think, has taken it a little bit too far.
Well, you're probably right, and I will plead guilty. Guilty is charged, and I'm going to rethink it, Sarah.
All right.
All right. Now let me ask you a question. Is weight an issue for you or no?
Oh, absolutely.
It is for most women, even if they're, you know, what you would say, they look fine. Women always never think they look fine enough.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
It was the connection with the racist and stupidity that was bothering me the most.
All right. I apologize to you for that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. 349-1320. Oh, Sarah got me. Sarah put it to me. 349-1320. You may want to comment on what Sarah had to say. And you may want to comment on the Bush administration pushing a nastiness between groups, immigrant bashing, because they think it'll get them votes. They think that it can change the subject. Whatever the discontent that we are feeling, they don't want it to be pushed into, they don't want it shot into their direction. They want to blame it on this group, that group. They don't want to blame it on their stupidity, on their lack of smart decisions, on this loser war in Iraq where people are losing their lives, and we are losing so much of everything, goodwill. We are losing at the rate of zillions of dollars a month. We are losing money. We're losing everything. We haven't gained very much, nothing that I can see. The cost-to-benefit ratio is hideous, and what they want to do is they want to bash immigrants because it takes your mind off of what's really going on. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Montana.
Well, the weather's looking pretty good, Enid. Tonight, we have lows right around 57 with a slight breeze. Tomorrow, highs 98 and a slight breeze. Eastbound 50 at Hazel and Cambridge. We have a vehicle in the roadway and blocking lane, so the expected delays. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to Northgate, then slow again at Riverside. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We may not have solved America's problems yet, but we're working on it. AM 1320.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's your right to listen to the left.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
That somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you.
had, it would not be out of place thematically.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. And remember, Bobby Kennedy Jr. will be with us at 6:30 today to talk about whether the 2004 election was stolen. Raise your hand if you know the answer to that question. 349-1320 or toll-free 866-620-61320. We're talking about how the administration plans to bash immigrants in order to win the next election and how, and the farthest reaches of the continuum, it results in the kind of vicious anti-Semitic, anti-Hispanic screeds that are being blanketing Sacramento neighborhoods. Some of you don't know what to do about it, so you don't call the police. You come to AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel, which is maybe not a bad thing to do. Sharon in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Sharon, you got to have your radio off. Sorry, we have a delay. So anybody who calls the show has to have your radio off because we can't have a conversation because we are in what is called delay. This is to avoid the $325,000 fine that any bad thing that's said on the air can result in. So 349-1320 or 866-620-61320. Joe in North.
For 5 minutes. Joe, I do not have my radio on. Please.
Who is this?
Sharon.
Okay, Sharon.
Enid, my radio has been off for 5 minutes.
Well, wherever I clicked on had a radio on, and I have you up as Joe. But anyway, welcome to. Well, I think you know what? I think the names got switched around, and it was Joe who had the radio on, and Sharon. But it's anyway.
Joe will do. I don't care.
Okay, Sharon. Sorry about that.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that I support Angelides' campaign for going on the offensive. Let's hope that there's more of it.
What did he do so far? So far, I haven't seen much of anything.
I haven't either.
Well, where is the offensive? We're offended that he's not on the offensive.
Yes, we are. But I think that what the mayor, the former mayor of Mexico City, is doing is great. He's doing what Gore should have done in 2000 and what Kerry should have done in 2004.
Tell
us. He's telling people to go in the streets and protest this.
Well, here's what the Europeans don't understand, why Americans won't go on the street and protest anything. And whoever who did that were the Hispanic workers here when they closed down businesses and cities a few months back when they took to the streets to protest. But the rest of us, I don't know, I guess we're getting our nails done.
We've been, not you and not I, Enid, and not probably most of the people that are listening to your show. But many people have been corporatized, just as the Democratic Party.
All right, what does it mean? What does it mean, Sharon, to be corporatized?
It means that they have sold you a bill of goods through advertising. You spend all your money going out and buying their stuff, and they become so successful and so rich that they can put you on the margins of slavery. And continue to disenfranchise you, as is happening now here in California. And taking a trashing the Constitution.
Well, here, did you hear my guest yesterday, Dan Gilbert, who wrote Stumbling on Happiness?
No, but I would like to thank you very much for Morris Berman.
Wasn't he wonderful?
Yes, I'm on his list at the library for his new book, and I read the one that he wrote in 2000. It's marvelous.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get home till late tomorrow.
Well, take a look at this book, because here's what Dan Gilbert had to say. He is a professor of psychology and a pretty well-respected one at Harvard. And, you know, sometimes the books can be dry and tedious and the information is all the suffix. secrets of the secret readers. But his book is real. His takes on things were, I thought, really wonderful. And he said this about happiness, that the thing that makes us most happy as human beings is to have contact with each other, because we are social beings. And you are rich when you have lots of friends, he said. And I said, so then why does the research tell us that 20 years ago, on average, we confided in 3 people, and now 20 years later, we confide in 2 people, and 25% of us have nobody to confide in? What is that all about if being with people, having friends, makes us feel better than anything else? And he said, sort of what you're saying, and he said it's because culturally we have been made to believe that the getting of more stuff is what is really going to make us happy. And his research shows that that is not the case. So people are on this treadmill of getting more stuff because you've bought more stuff. Now you got to work harder to pay for more stuff, and it never ends. Now you got to, and instead of you owning the stuff owns you.
Enid, do you remember the book Small is Beautiful?
I do, the E.F. Schumacher book.
Yes. I'm not sure who, it was a woman who wrote it.
No, I think it was a man. E.F. Schumacher. I think the same book. And I think it's somebody that Jerry Brown used to quote a while back, before he was thinking about becoming an attorney general and imposing the death penalty.
Oh, no.
Oh, Sharon, I thank you very much.
Can I make just one more point?
Sure, sure.
I'd like to comment that a caller called in and talked to you about cheap produce,
mm-hmm,
as a benefit to the people of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to just raise the question, 2 questions. First, would Americans do this work if it paid well?
What is your thought about that?
I say yes. They always did, and they always will.
How much would it have to pay to get anybody interested in doing it?
Maybe $10 an hour.
$10 an hour to work in the fields?
Yes.
Maybe. But you know what? I'm glad you brought this up, and I thank you, Sharon, for calling. A very interesting point. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. The reason I'm glad she brought it up is that there is, in Louisiana, the system of parishes. What they do is they have been doing this for quite a long time with jobs to do. Louisiana turns to its inmates. Now tell me why that's not a good idea. A lot of you say it's slave labor, it's not a good idea, competes with private industry and so on. At barbecue, this is the New York Times reporting, at barbecues, ball games, funerals, cotton gin, service stations, the First Baptist Church, the pepper sauce factory, and the local private school, the men in orange, are everywhere. Many people here in East Carroll Parish, as Louisiana counties are known, say they could not get by without their inmates, who make up more than 10% of its population and most of its labor force. They are dirt cheap, sometimes free, always compliant, ever ready, and disposable. You just call up the sheriff and presto, inmates are headed your way. They bring me warm bodies, 10 warm bodies in the morning, said Grady Brown, owner of the Panola Pepper Corporation. Panola Pepper Corporation. They do anything you ask them to do. It is an ideal arrangement, many in this farming parish say. You call them up, they drop them off, they pick them up in the afternoon, said the owner of a service station. National prison experts say that only Louisiana allows citizens to use inmate labor on such a widespread scale under the supervision of local sheriffs. The state has the nation's highest incarceration rate. I thought that was California, frankly. And East Carroll Parish, a forlorn jurisdiction of 8,700 souls along the Mississippi River in the remote northeastern corner of Louisiana, has one of the highest rates of incarceration in the state. As a result, it is here that the nation's culture of incarceration achieves a kind of ultimate synthesis with the local economy. The prison system converts a substantial segment of the population into a commodity that is desperately short supply, cheap labor. And local jail inmates are integrated into every aspect of economic and social life. So that, you know what, they learn a trade, they learn something, they're integrated into the local community. Maybe that helps them when they get out. Sometimes the men get paid, minimum wage, for instance, working for one person. But by the time the sheriff takes his cut, which includes board, travel expenses, and clothes, they wind up with considerably less than half of the minimum wage. The rules are loose and give the sheriffs broad discretion State law dictates only which inmates may go out into the world, mostly those nearing the end of their sentences, and how much the authorities get to keep of an inmate's wages rather than the type of work he can perform. There's little in the state rules to limit the potential for a sheriff to use his inmate flock to curry favor or to reap personal benefits. So it could be very much misused. But assuming that there are some protections here, and you've got a lot of people in the pokey, why don't we give them something to do? I mean, it's a mess how trashy Sacramento can look and how little pickup of trash there seems to be. So maybe they can begin in that way. And when you start to pick up the trash, when you start to create the clutter, when you start to eliminate the clutter, I mean, what do you have? Ah, you have more clarity, don't you? You have a less blighted landscape, don't you? And maybe a less blighted landscape means that you have a better place to live. And why isn't this a possibility for us to consider? We're feeding you, three hots in a cot. God bless you, got into trouble. So work is tremendously redemptive. It's very transformative. You can learn a skill. We can use your help. Let's go for it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. If it's not a good idea, I want to hear why it isn't. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Enid. Eastbound 50, accident at Hazel and Cambridge, all blocking lanes except delays and expect delays. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to Northgate, then slow again at Riverside. Southbound 5, slow traffic from Richards to downtown. And 99, southbound, slow traffic, 12th to Mac. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Togo's new sensation.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sick on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete bishul is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
5:54 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We have about an hour and a few minutes left, and just a few minutes left in this segment. So let's go right to the phones. John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, John.
You're cleaning up the streets with convicts, although it's a nice idea. I don't think you'll go any place as long as the California Correctional Peace Officers Association's around.
Why?
Well, because you're going to be taking inmates out of prison and turning them over to the sheriffs who are going to be watching them with other supervision, and you're going to be doing with a lot of fat jobs.
Really? Is that why that's not happening? And why can't the CCPOA, why can't they have to be inside of a prison? They can't supervise on the outside of a prison? Is that
they basically don't, unless we're going to give them a big bonus for allowing them to supervise on the outside of a prison.
So you're saying that that's the reason why it's not happening? We got these people sitting around. What are they doing? Watching TV, pumping hour?
I don't think rehabilitation is any place in the system. I really don't. And I think that, and there's a lot of people who will fight me on this, but I think CCPOA, it's to their advantage to keep people locked up and not rehabilitate them.
Because why? Then they come back in the door again, and then
right.
And then CCPOA preserves their jobs.
Keep that's right. Keeps them employed.
Well, you know what? You could be right about that, John. And
if there's something I feel 100% about, that's it, ain't it? So it's good luck. Let's see if that opens any floodgates. People might upset some folks, but that's what I believe.
I thank you very much for the call. That opens up a line, 349-1320. Ala in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's Ava.
Oh, Ava, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Most people make that mistake. Two issues. I'm not going to disagree with the gentleman right before me at all.
Okay.
But the two issues that concern me, I don't think that it's a bad idea to have prison mates work once they're in prison. The dangerous things, I can't talk about Louisiana, although I have my suspicions, but, here in California is, as well as I do, that a lot of people who are incarcerated for minor infractions
mm-hmm.
when they shouldn't be, and and basically what you're doing is you're creating an opportunity for slave labor, which is taking away jobs from the regular workforce.
Now, wait a minute. Explain the idea of slave labor to me. We're all slave labor, aren't we? I mean, we're getting paid something.
Yeah, we're all.
Some more, some less.
Yeah, we talk about slave labor. For example, somebody who, this is issue.
What is slave labor in this situation? I mean, somebody has committed an infraction. They're in the pokey.
This is what I'm saying. The danger is the people who are incarcerated, for some minor infraction or who have been incarcerated.
If they're incarcerated for something that is not really minor, they really shouldn't be in the pokey to begin with.
Exactly.
It's too expensive.
I'm not disagreeing with that. That's exactly the truth. That's exactly the point I'm making, but we do it anyway, and then we're making.
But if you're
labor.
A better person, I'm not going to call it slave labor. I don't think of it as.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A Japanese newspaper says U.S. and Japanese military analysts believe the long-range missile launched by North Korea was aimed at the waters near Hawaii. It barely got off the ground before it had trouble and fell apart. And Daryl Kimball of the Arms Control Association doubts the Japanese report.
It would be imprudent to jump to specific conclusions about its capabilities and North Korea's intentions from the scant amount of information that we do have at this stage.
Homeland Security expert Randall Larson says there's absolutely zero reason for anyone in Hawaii, Alaska, or on the West Coast to be concerned, but
if the report is correct that the long-range missile was actually aimed in the vicinity of Hawaii, I don't think it could have reached there. That would have been a pretty strong message for the North Koreans to be sending, almost taunting the U.S.
The Bush administration's pushing for U.N. sanctions to punish North Korea. So far, China and Russia are resisting. Florida Supreme Court today threw out a massive jury award against cigarette makers.
This is a big win for big tobacco.
University of California professor Stanton Glantz is an anti-tobacco crusader. He's disappointed by the ruling. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula has background.
The $145 billion verdict was the largest award ever by an American jury. Many industry insiders warned it would bankrupt cigarette makers. The ruling could clear the way for Altria Group, parent of industry leader Philip Morris, to spin off its lucrative Kraft Foods business.
Altria stock rose 6% today. Other cigarette makers also saw gains on Wall Street. Supporters of same-sex marriage suffered two setbacks today. New York's highest court ruled that state law only allows marriage between a man and a woman. It would take the legislature to change that. And the Georgia Supreme Court reinstated a constitutional amendment approved by the voters 2 years ago, which explicitly bans gay marriage. New insights into the Columbine High School massacre. Reporter John Hall has details of documents released today more than 7 years after two teenagers went on their rampage.
946 pages of journal entries, notes, school papers, and to-do lists. The Jefferson County Sheriff has released the Columbine documents seized from the homes of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. The pages include chilling stories and poems about death, executions, and doodles of guns. One page is out of a day planner in which Eric Harris writes, "Get nails, get gas cans, get duffel bags, get propanes, fill my clip." Printed in the margins, after school planning. John Hall, CBS News, Denver.
Mexico's presidential election is over, but it seems far from settled. Leftist candidate Andres Manuel López Obrador, who finished a close second, is claiming fraud and vows to challenge the result in court. Conservative Felipe Calderón has been declared the winner. The Dow up 73 points today. This is CBS News.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making an Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please!
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. Everything you need to get started making money on the internet is in a free software package from Internet Speedway.
Call 1-800-395-3423. 1-800-395-3423. 1-800-395-3423.
Shuttle Discovery has safely docked with the International Space Station after a flyby for a photographic inspection. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports NASA engineers are hard-pressed to find any damage.
It's a good problem to have.
We're struggling a little bit to find areas to go look at with our focused inspection.
That's because all the data and pictures examined so far seem to show Discovery's heat shield wasn't damaged or even hit by fuel tank debris after launch. John Shannon chairs the mission management team. He says pictures sent down from the International Space Station brought good news.
There were no tile areas that exceeded our criteria to go look at with a focused inspection, which is somewhat of a surprise, but a very pleasant surprise.
Peter King, CBS News.
A marathon a day for 50 consecutive days, one in each of the 50 states. That's the goal of a Vicksburg, Mississippi man this summer. 25-year-old Samuel Thompson says he's running to raise awareness of his state's continuing struggles after Hurricane Katrina. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Looking to get your...
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 4 of Enid Live. This is the Thursday edition. I'm yours till 7, 3 to 7 weekdays. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, you can join the conversation. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it. And you can be heard by more people than you probably meet in the whole rest of your life. And if you're in the 916 area code, the way to do it is 349-1320. And if you're outside the area code, it's 866-626-1320. Toll free. Check out our website, 1320leftchannel.com. Go to my page. All the upcoming, click on Enid Live, all the upcoming guests. But the thing that you've asked me to do, we put up on the website, on my page, and that is Dickie's resume, George W. Bush resume that I read yesterday on the air. Lots of you called in and wanted to know where you could find a copy. Well, you can find a copy on 1320leftchannel.com on my page. Just click on Enid Live and it'll come up and scroll down. It's below where all the guests are. We are being joined at 6:30. My guest will be Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy. He is a host on Air America Radio's Ring of Fire, and it airs here on the weekends on Saturday and on Sunday. It airs on Saturday 2 o'clock and on Sunday it airs at noon, and he wrote a really powerful piece in Rolling Stone with citations and with references and very well documented called "Was the 2004 Election Stolen?" Now, what a provocative piece. The piece is a blockbuster, and with the pedigree of Bobby Kennedy behind it, you would think that the mainstream media would pick up on it. The mainstream media pretty much yawned and ignored it. And I want to talk to him because one of the issues we have talked a great deal about here is voting and the integrity of voting. So he is going to be joining us in the 6:30 hour. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Elaine Petricelli. She's my guest tomorrow. And she and her husband, Bill, own one of the most wonderful independent bookstores around called Book Passage in Marin County in Corte Madera. And it's a place where you can just get lost in. And, you know, she has a wonderful selection of books, and she has a terrific selection of authors who come in, the top flight authors who come in. And so, you know what? It costs you nothing. You go to a bookstore, you hear a top flight author read, or you meet the author when the author is signing the books, and you don't even have to buy anything. It's nice if you do, because independent bookstores are more and more an endangered species. But I thought it'd be fun to have her on because we're all looking for a great summer read. And that's the virtue of independent bookstores, where the staff really does read. They really know what's good. And when you walk in, they have wonderful suggestions for you. And it's the independent booksellers. Those are the people that made books like The Da Vinci Code such bestsellers. I had Dan Brown in my studio. I interviewed him live. The very day that the book, the publication date of the book, and it was number one already. Now, how does that happen when the book isn't even out and it's already number one? Because of these, of what's called hand-selling the book. Clerks in good bookstores recommend, galleys are circulated and so on. And so there's a buzz so that when publication day arrives, the book is already number one, and it was number one on the New York Times bestseller list and has been for quite a long time. I don't know if it still is, but Dan Brown never has to teach kids again. 349-1320, although there are more and more allegations now, plagiarism for Dan Brown. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Also, if you register as a Left Channel Legionnaire, you have the opportunity to win tickets to see Bill Maher when he comes to town on Sunday, July 23rd. And you have the opportunity to win a wonderful bike. And that's at our website, 1320leftchannel.com. We've been giving away tickets to Bill Maher. We'll continue to do that in the next few days. I think tomorrow probably, and Monday when he is a guest on our program in the 3 o'clock hour. So we'll be joined by Bill Maher Monday, 3 o'clock. So that's just a little sampling of what's coming up on Enid Live. We have been talking about all kinds of things. We have been talking about the latest thing we were talking about was this idea that what we have so much, one of you said, Sharon said, that if the price of salary we paid was about $10 an hour, people would go to work in the fields. They would do that. I don't know what that does to the price of everything, but they would do that. Well, it started me thinking about something we've talked about, and here now the New York Times covering a situation in Louisiana where they have, according to the New York Times, the highest rate of incarceration in the country. I thought it was California, but they're saying Louisiana. And here's what happens when you get near to the end of your sentence. You become available to do some work. And with jobs to do, this county or parish, as it's called in Louisiana, turns to its inmates to do the work. What would be wrong with that? You're here, you're sitting around in the pokey, we warehouse you, and then you come out because your sentence is up or because the jails are overcrowded, and you come out and you haven't learned anything except you got your PhD in advanced criminal skills, but you haven't learned much about how you can rehab yourself, how you can get off drugs, how you can learn a trade, how you can learn something so that you can support yourself, and you move in the neighborhood, next door, across the street, you don't know what to do with yourself, you commit another crime, and back off to the pokey you go. You commit a crime against perhaps one of your neighbors. So do something. Rehab the society that you have committed a grievous offense against. Do that. Work is redemptive. Work is transformative. And we need your help. Sacramento is looking grungy in certain parts of Sacramento, or the sprawl, the metro sprawl. Inmates could help with that, with the trash pickup, making Sacramento look as lovely as we know it is. And what is wrong with this idea? And why are some of you calling it slave labor? I want to hear. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mike in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, Enid. How are you?
I'm very well, Mike.
Good. Actually, the Department of Corrections has a pretty large program, the Prison Industry Authority. A lot of mini prisons provide fire crews. But the gentleman who called in is absolutely right. None of these things will happen or do happen without the blessing of CCPOA. That's wrong. That needs to be changed. Also, the
you think Arnold has the real cojones to stand up to them and change it? I don't think so.
No, I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger does. I don't think any of the candidates have the courage to do that. But I'll tell you a story about inmates working. You know, it used to be years ago that the inmates raised their own food for the most part. You know, they had cattle, they had pigs, they had gardens, they had all kinds of things. And that has gone by the wayside, not completely, but to give you an example of how politics and the incompetent management of the Department of Corrections fails miserably, there's a prison up in Susanville that has 12,000 inmates. They all use the bathroom. There's a sewer plant that generates a need to take affluent water and run it on crops, which it does in the form of alfalfa. However, that alfalfa and that crop production is extremely limited, even to the point that there were many efforts made to give it to the Wild Horse Program, the Bureau of Land Management, that has a program where it's...
Well, I'm sort of losing you in the brokenness of the detail, Mike, but if you're saying that there are places where... I know that the San Bruno jail has, or did, I think it was San Bruno, they had a wonderful garden. The inmates worked on it. It raised high-end produce, really good stuff that went to the top restaurants in San Francisco, and everybody benefited from it. And I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. 20 Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Very good. Thank you very much, Enid. Well, the weather's looking pretty good. 57 for the low, maybe a little bit of wind. Tomorrow high is 98 with about the same. News 10's interactive speeds. What are we doing? I guess I'm reading this. The traffic's looking pretty good, though. Over the top 50, we have slow traffic. And also southbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road, we have a disabled vehicle that is stopping traffic as well. We'll be back with more Enid Live at AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel.
Hi.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan. Without warning or provocation, Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
The bank approved.
Again, then I'm part of a gay show.
So you're doing like a self, kind of a self-examination.
Yeah.
That's healthy, I guess. I guess that's healthy. And really, you just kind of have a third of a problem, I guess.
No, I don't have a problem at all. That's weird. I just wanted to say that. It's weird.
Well, glad you're addressing that.
No, don't sweat it. You can sleep well tonight with whomever you choose.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Thank you.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about the issue of doing here in Sacramento what they are doing in Louisiana. As you are nearing the end of your sentence in this remote parish, Louisiana, which has the highest rate of incarceration, says the New York Times. I continue to think it's California, but I guess I'll go with what the New York Times is saying. Has all these, they have work to be done and they have inmates who can do it. And to me, it's match.com. Match made in heaven. I think that's what we can do here in Sacramento. That's exactly what we can do here. And we have lots of things that need doing. Now, many of you calling in say, well, it's not fair, it's slave labor. What is slave labor? Who hasn't had a terrible job that wasn't slave labor? Who didn't have a summer job when you were in school that didn't feel like slave labor? Give me a break. You know, picking up stuff from the roadside or where it's, all this junk that's accumulated, that's honest work. You pick up clutter and you declutter an area. You clean it up. You leave in your wake clarity. You leave in your wake a better place than you started with. And work is transformative. Work is redemptive. It's better to be out there instead of sitting, better to be out there doing something than sitting around doing nothing. Maybe you could learn a new skill in this process. I think there was prison labor used. I was listening to a story over the weekend about prison labor being used to build houses for low-income residents. And somebody said, I never had these kind of skills before, never knew how to do this. Look what I've learned. A year and a half ago, this guy said, I didn't know how to do any of this. And now he's built several houses in the process. And I worked on one of the Jimmy Carter Habitat for Humanity builds, actually, in the land that time forgot. Because in that land, there's a really impoverished part of it, and then there's a really affluent part of it. And here they are coexisting side by side. And in the really impoverished part of it, which is largely African American, Jimmy Carter came in, and they built Habitat for Humanity houses, and they went up in a week. You do all the prep work before, the foundations are laid before, and then when you come in and it's done really in a few days. And here's the deal. The people who build the Habitat for Humanity houses, they pay to do it. They fly themselves in, they pay their own room and board, they put themselves up, whatever it costs, they pay for the privilege. It's considered, there's a kind of spiritual aspect to it. 349-1320, Joe, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
This is Joe.
Yes, Joe, welcome.
Well, hey, how are you?
Good. Tell me what's on your mind.
I've got 84 years of experience in the state of California. I'm a World War II veteran, Vietnam veteran.
All right, Joe, what is your point? Tell me your point quickly.
The point is work for the project, okay? 1975, I worked for the city of Sacramento. 1978, I went on my own. And we start bringing people from the sheriff department.
Uh-huh.
If it hadn't been for them, the city cemetery would still be a jungle. And they've done a great, great job. They never got any credit for it.
Are you talking about people from the Sacramento jail?
Yes.
And what did they do from the county jail?
I started on my own, and then after a while, the sheriff got involved with me. They bought me some stool. The city was against us, but we
were you an inmate?
What's that?
Were you an inmate?
No, I was a private gardener.
Okay, so you were a private gardener, and you used this prison labor to help clean up Sacramento. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the city cemetery.
Oh, the city cemetery.
And I've got pictures of how it was, pictures of how it is now, and then they've done a great, great job. They very seldom get any credit for it. These are low profile. But anyway, on the issue of the Aryan race, I think, like everything else, they have the right to express their feelings.
Of course they have the right to express their feelings, but they're crazy. That's the beauty of this society. You have the right, you have the First Amendment right to express your feelings. If you want to be hateful, miserable, vicious, venomous, that is what the First Amendment guarantees you the right to be. And that is part of the beauty of this system. So when you have these right-wing wackos who want to limit what your abilities are, want to tell you that flag burning is not a free expression, they want to tell you what you can and cannot see on TV because they're going to decide for you, you know what? That's not the right way to go. So we're talking about, and I want to add to the discussion too, briefly before we are joined by Bobby Kennedy, and we'll be joined by Bobby Kennedy in just a few minutes. There's something that we have called, that we've been talking about here, where homeless people, they finally figured out that if you're homeless, putting you up here and there in a hotel room over the cost over the term of a year is going to be a very costly thing to do. So instead of waiting for you to clean up, instead of waiting for you to get off drugs, instead of waiting for you to be rid forever of your mental health problems, what they do is they put you into housing and then they work out your problems later. And now what they're doing in Seattle, and I think this is really an interesting idea, they are taking people who are drunks, they're putting them in places to live, and you can drink in your room. You don't have to stop drinking. You don't have to clean up. You just go to your room. If you want to drink yourself into a happy oblivion, you know what? Seattle says, be our guest. And it winds up being a lot cheaper for people to do that than it does for the kind of what was piecemeal happening before where people were cycled in and out of drunk tanks. But the thing we've been talking about is if we have work to do and we have people in prison, in jail, who are able to do it, I think it would be a very good match to put people together and get the jobs done that we need to have done in Sacramento. We don't have the money to do it, but we may very well have the manpower if it were properly deployed. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, and shortly, if all goes well, we will be joined by Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., who asked the question, was the 2004 election stolen? Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
Thank you very much. Lows tonight right around 57. The highs 98 and clearer on Saturday. A little bit warmer in the evening on Saturday as well, about 69. Disabled vehicles blocking traffic at southbound I-5 and at Q Street. Westbound Florin Road en route to southbound 99. We have a collision as well blocking the traffic. And again, 99 at Prairie Ridge Road, always slow most of the time. We'll be back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635,
sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
It's the best bike vacation.
Messages.
Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I.
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
God. Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Hard work.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is...
6:28 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We're having some trouble reaching Bobby Kennedy Jr., but we hope that we are able to do that because the interview was scheduled for 6:30. And so these things, you know, you never know. This is live radio. We're assuming that it's all going to go well, and we're a little bit early, so we're just waiting. We'll see. And if it does all go well, we'll be asking the question, as he did in his Rolling Stone piece, was the 2004 election stolen? In the meantime, what we have been just talking about, and I got some information, too, from one of you, and this is Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. Apparently, there has been inside a voting machine. This is from Black Box. Let me see if I can bring this up for you. This is all new today. Citing public officials for failure to take adequate measure to protect the vote following a recently received security bulletin, Black Box Voting, a nonpartisan nonprofit elections watchdog group, released close-up photographs of the Diebold touchscreen motherboard, an unredacted version of the security alert covered by the New York Times and CNN, along with the developer's version of the computer source codes for citizens to examine. So for the first time ever, you find out what's going on with the Diebold first time ever, over 100 high-resolution digital photographs, including close-ups of the Diebold touchscreen motherboard, can be examined by citizens. And remember now, you had a problem in San Diego where there was the chain of command was not a very good one, in that poll workers took home their voting machines, and unsupervised, these voting machines stood around for any time, you know, sometimes days at a time. Allegedly, the seals weren't broken, but, you know, you can actually alter the tally by not having anything to do with breaking the seals. You can just go in there and hack the software. So that's what's going on with blackboxvoting.org. They have done some really wonderful work. So when I saw this piece, gosh, was the election stolen? I thought, wow, there's going to be a lot of talk about this piece. And interestingly enough, the left trashed it. And the piece was the 2004 election stolen? Why would the left want to trash the idea that the election could have been stolen in 2004? Why were the Democrats so eager to roll over and concede Kerry's defeat when there were so many huge questions about what went on in Ohio? We don't know. We don't know we don't know what the answer is. And if we're lucky enough to find Bobby Kennedy today, he joins us, which he was supposed to do, maybe we'll have an answer to that question. But the truth is, he writes this piece, and it gets really almost no comment. So and Salon.com sort of trashes it, and other people have trashed it, and a lot of other people have said, gee, this is great, but it didn't make it into the mainstream dialogue. I think things are beginning to seep into the mainstream about the integrity of our voting system, but for some reason, this piece, which I thought was pretty impressive, did not. So here it is. Was the 2004 election stolen? Republicans prevented more than 350,000 voters in Ohio from casting ballots or even having their votes counted, enough to put John Kerry in the White House. And this is by Robert Kennedy Jr. And it's just a really well-done piece. So if you have a chance to look at Rolling Stone, and this is the Rolling Stone edition with, I don't have exactly the date of it. Probably easy to call it up on the net. Well, we don't see where, we don't have him. Antonio, what's the status? We have called and,
called and we have left a message.
Okay.
There's not much else we could do.
And we've called his producer also. And does anybody answer there?
Nope, just another voicemail.
Another voicemail. Okay, well, we have given him our hotline number, so we hope that he will call in, and we thought we would have him at 6:30 today, but apparently, and we expect maybe he'll call in. Okay, here's what's going on, and what we were talking about before the break. We were talking about with jobs to do in Louisiana, they use inmates to do them, and we could do the same thing here in Sacramento, but what many of you have pointed out is that The prison guards union won't allow it. I don't know how true that is, but that's what most of you have called in to say, and I'm taking your word for it. And we are also talking about something that I think could help us here, and I don't know to what extent it does. I know that there is loaves and fishes, but in Seattle, what they're doing, and I think it's a great idea, is if you've got a drinking problem and you are an habitual drunk and you are on the street and it costs them a lot of money to remove you from the street and put you into the drunk tank and do all that stuff that happens when you are an habitual drunk, what they're doing in Seattle is they're doing an experiment. And the experiment is that they are putting you in a place to live, a clean place to live. It's not a fancy place to live, but it's just fine. And you can drink in your room. It's not like the Salvation Army. If you want to get a bowl of soup, you can't walk in and start drinking, or you have to listen to the sermon. I mean, I don't know if they even do that anymore. That's an old stereotype. But in Seattle, if you are a problem on the streets, you're a public nuisance. It's a public health issue. They put you in a room, and if you want a drink, be my guest. Maybe they also make rehab services available to you. It's very possible that they do that, but a lot of people don't want the rehab services. They just want a drink. They want to drink themselves into a happy oblivion. And so Seattle lets them, and I think that's a pretty good idea. And just as I do, if you are homeless, putting you into a place to live, before you clean up. As many of you know, I am a reader of obituaries. And I saw one in the New York Times that I thought was really interesting. I didn't know this person, except I've heard of her last name. And the reason I heard of her last name is I thought it turns out that it's her husband's name, and that he might be, or she might have been related to somebody who was big in the record business at one time. She was an opera singer, a mezzo-soprano, who didn't get around to becoming an opera singer till a lot later in life than you usually become an opera singer. She was born in San Francisco to musical parents. She died at 52, which is not a very advanced age. She had been ill, but it doesn't say what her illness was. Her father was a musician. And she studied voice at places like San Jose State. And she really was a musician, which is how she started out. But somewhere along the line, she became a singer. And the obituary details the arc of her career, that for the next decade, her career thrived as she collaborated on various kinds of music. She met her husband in 1997. When he selected her to sing in the premiere of his opera at the Santa Fe Opera, she and the man who became her husband, and they describe him as a practicing Buddhist since his graduate student days at Columbia, were immediately drawn to each other. And here was the part that caught my attention. At the time, he was married with three daughters. So he was married to somebody else, and he had three daughters. After an understandably upsetting divorce for the man, and his name is Lieberson, he and Lorraine Hunt were married in 1999, and she became Lorraine Hunt Lieberson. Their closeness was apparent to anyone who observed them on stage during the ovations for an opera that she was doing that they worked on together. And She dies at the age of 52, 7 years after they were married. So they were married in 1999. They were drawn to each other in 1997 when they first met. He was married to somebody else, and there were three daughters. So the whole thing had to be a huge mess. And given that we had that professor from Harvard on yesterday who talked about happiness and talked about how you achieve happiness, I wondered about the unhappiness quotient here of two people who immediately fall very deeply in love with each other. But in being able to stay together, lives are hugely uprooted, and they are greatly affected. So you have the lives of three daughters and the lives of the wife and the life of the wife. It was probably a messy divorce, and I don't know any of the specifics. I don't know any of the people involved. But I started to think about it, and that paragraph from the obituary didn't leave me. And I thought, what is the honorable and right thing to do? Not simply living by convention about what a religion would say you're supposed to do in this circumstance. Some religions say you're never supposed to be divorced. But what is the right thing to do here in terms of happiness? And then, you know, they get married, these lives are uprooted, and just a few years later, she dies. So is it worth it? What is the cost-to-benefit ratio here? I mean, you know, these are questions that 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. These are the questions that I wonder if the happiness doctor can recommend an answer to. So what happens when two people are so drawn to each other that everybody can see it? They really yearn to be together. It makes all the difference in their lives, and yet in going together, in making the commitment to each other, they cause a huge upheaval. They cause a huge upheaval in four other people's lives. So that is the question I'm asking. And when I see some activity here in the control room. So 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I think we should maybe take a break now and get to your calls as we continue. So I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Montana.
You bet. Thank you very much. Lows tonight, 57. Like I said, a slight breeze, though good for doing some work outside. And on the next couple of days, actually on through the evening and tomorrow morning and on Saturday, highs right around 98. We do have a hit and run, 24th Street and Fruit Ridge Road. It is also slow there and backed up. The hit and run, there's no injuries, but the emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Southbound 99, just north of westbound Florin Road. We have two vehicles that got into it, but no injuries. We'll be back with more Enid Live. It's AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate, like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
6:44 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And joining us, finally, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy, who hosts Ring of Fire, and you can hear it here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, Saturdays at 2 p.m., Sundays at noon. Bobby Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Did I keep you waiting?
Yes, you did. We thought we would never. It's cool. It's Rafoitis interruptus. But thank you for joining us. I loved your piece in Rolling Stone. Was the 2004 election stolen? I think we all know the answer to that question. But what mystifies me, why don't you tell us the answer? But what mystifies me is, why is it that it hasn't picked up more mainstream steam, this piece?
Well, I mean, here's the story, that there's no question that any kind of reasonable mind or reasonable person could, there's no doubt that a reasonable person could harbor that the Republicans made a deliberate and concerted effort to steal the election, and particularly in the state of Ohio, but in states across the country. Question whether they stole it or not, in my view, is also clear. In Ohio was a fulcrum state. It was a key state because if Kerry had won that state, Bush, according to the official tally, won the state by 118,000 votes. If Kerry had won the state, he would have won the presidency.
Right.
There were 357,000 voters, and this is all overwhelmingly Democratic, and most of them black, incidentally. And that number is extremely conservative. It was probably more than double that. The 357,000 voters who went to the polls and either and were registered voters, but were not allowed to vote or didn't have their votes counted. And in addition to that, and those voters alone would have given Kerry the presidency almost certainly. In addition to that, there were 80,000 votes in 12 western counties. There were 80,000 voters who went into the polling booth and voted for Kerry and then had their votes switched to Bush. And that's a margin of 160,000 votes.
How are those switched?
In addition to that, there's a half dozen other counties where tens of thousands of votes were shifted from Kerry to Bush.
Were they shifted electronically or?
Well, actually, in those counties, they were using electronic tabulators, but they were not using the electronic voting machines. And the tabulators are easy to fix, but also the ballots are simply easy to fix. I mean, and it was blatant in one of those counties, in Warren County, for example, which was one of the last counties in Ohio to report. Just before they reported in, the election board declared that they had been told by the FBI that there was a terrorist alert, and they expelled all of the press and independent observers. Then the ballots were spirited away to a warehouse owned by a local Republican official, and they were counted and recounted three times, and each time Bush's margin of victory increased. And in the end, Bush won that county by 9,000 more votes than he had won against Gore in the year 2000. So, and there was all kinds of those shenanigans going on in those 12 counties, which are all controlled by Republicans.
My guest is Robert F. Kennedy. The piece he wrote in Rolling Stone, was the 2004 election stolen? So why was it then, given such blatant evidence, why did the Democrats concede as quickly as they did? Why did they not demand a recount? Why didn't they demand some better accounting?
Well, if you ask John Kerry, which I have, he says that at the time that in that short, narrow window of time that he had to make that decision, the kind of the 12 to 24-hour period, that his lawyers told him at that time that although they suspected the election may have been stolen, they didn't have the hard evidence needed to prevail in a court case, and he would seem like a sore loser if he brought that case and then lost. So,
how do you know you don't have the hard evidence if you don't do a recount, or at least demand a recount? Maybe in the recounting process, the evidence emerges.
Well, that's the problem, is that the recount actually, you know, the recount never occurred. The recount, although the Green Party paid for the recount, and a recount was required under the law, the Republicans, through illegal maneuvers, were able to derail the recount in all but one county. When I say illegal maneuvers, what they did was, for example, in many of the counties, they conspired with officials from Triad Company, which is a company that manufactures the voting machines that were used in many of the counties in the state, the tabulation machines. And the executives of Triad gave the Republican county election boards cheat sheets to show them how to illegally defeat the recount. And in some cases, they actually went in and fixed the machines or altered ballots to make sure that the recount didn't occur. The way this works is that they choose random under the law in Ohio. If a recount is requested, they have to choose random precincts in each county. The precincts were not, however, chosen randomly. They were chosen purposefully and deliberately. Precincts were selected that would produce a beneficial result. That alone is illegal. But what they did was then you have to count 3% of the votes within that precinct and compare them to the official tally. And if they are off by a few percentage points, then you have to hand count all of the votes. Well, so if you can fix that 3% to make sure that they agree with the machine tally, then you can avoid the recount. And they were told beforehand by Triad officials what the machine count said about those particular precincts. And they were told, in some cases, they actually fixed the ballots that they randomly chose to reflect the numbers that were given to them by Triad. And in some cases, Triad officials were simply brought in and the machines were fixed to reflect the official recount. And Triad, when it was questioned by federal officials, said that this was their practice to try to help local officials avoid recounts by fixing the machines. It was all illegal, but nobody was prosecuted.
My guest is Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. He hosts a program that you can hear here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, an Air America radio program, Ring of Fire, co-host with Mike Papantonio. It airs Saturday at 2 p.m. and Sunday, again, at noon. Bobby, let me ask you, when there was publicity that this piece was going to run in Rolling Stone, I was so excited about it. We often have Bev Harris on from blackboxvoting.org. So it's an issue I've been interested in for quite some time. And I thought, oh, my goodness, here's somebody with a major pedigree. It'll probably be a blockbuster piece. And it was. It's just a wonderful piece. So thank you for doing it. And then nothing happens. The mainstream media doesn't pick it up. Salon sort of trashes it. explain to me what went on and why you think nobody picked it up. Why did Salon go after you? Salon.com, of all things.
Well, I think there was some politics between Rolling Stone and Salon. The fellow that went after me in Salon is a guy who I think is very well-meaning, but does not have much experience with American politics. The factual issues that he challenged me on has been proven he has been proven wrong in his factual assertions. And in some of the cases, his factual assertions are assertions that he's made before and been corrected on before. The mainstream media, the New York Times actually did an editorial, and then Bob Herbert did a very nice editorial on my piece. USA Today has done a series of front page pieces. And it has been picked up, many of the television shows. But you're right. I mean, the big issue, this is a huge issue in this is the biggest issue, arguably, in our democracy. If federal elections are being stolen, which I believe this one is, and I think anybody who reads my piece will come away at least thinking that there's a preponderance of the evidence that suggests that it was stolen. That's the biggest issue of the century. The American democracy is a paradigm for the world. This is the system that we are, we're in Iraq in a war to spread democracy, purportedly. But we don't have democracy in the state of Ohio or in the United States of America.
Ohio is very curious because the Bush family has deep roots in Ohio. And I have the piece in front of me that the Sunday New York Times, I guess June 25, they did a big picture of you, big piece on you, another Kennedy living dangerously environmentalist turns crusader out on a political limb and then talks about the accusations of election fraud in 2004. But it really doesn't go there. It mostly talks about your environmental work.
Well, the fact is that the American media did an abysmal job of covering this issue, and they do an abysmal job of covering all issues. I think this issue, in addition to just the systemic problems with the American press, this was an issue that they just didn't want to go there. They had blinders on about this presidency and about this issue, and And I can understand that because even for me, I just didn't want to believe that it was true. And I think I had blinders on for a couple of years until I started looking at this evidence and went, holy cow, this really was stolen.
We don't have a lot of time left, but if I were to ask you to look into the tea leaves, I think that there's so much writing, so much at stake for the Republicans, and they got away, assuming that they got away with it in Ohio, they'll be bolder still, and you have all the issues with e-voting, so that it's possible to hack a system. There's this report that was just released a week or so ago that says it's possible for one person to alter the results of a major election. If they know what they're doing, if they're relatively sophisticated, they could do it.
Right. One person who goes into a voting booth with a special PDA can hack the system and alter the results of a federal election. The same report pointed out that there's 120 vulnerabilities in these machines, that these machines are so insecure. They're machines that a bank wouldn't have these machines with this many vulnerabilities.
They pointed out the fact that
a casino wouldn't have one of these
right.
slot machines.
They said that game stations were more secure than these voting machines.
Yeah. I mean, they're so easy to hack, and they're easy to hack. You can fix an election 10 years ahead of time on these machines. But, the machines are almost a distraction because the other things that they're doing that the Republican Party in an organized way is doing to prevent black people from voting. And this is a reenactment of the Jim Crow laws back in the 40s.